without the express written consent of the Lansing Lugnuts. Hello and welcome in to an overcast afternoon in Michigan State Capitol. From Jackson Field, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and I'm joined by Adam Jaxa. It is time for the finale in a six-game homestand, the Lansing Lugnuts hosting the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Adam, let's go back to yesterday. History for Cedar Rapids.
Yes, indeed. We saw a cycle very rare in baseball, but when someone hits one, it is a phenomenal day at the plate. Alaric Solari tripled in his first at-bat, walked in his second, base hit in his fourth, and then a double in the seventh, which means when he came up in the eighth, he needed a home run, and he got a 3-1 fastball and didn't miss it out to right field. First cycle here at Jackson Field since 2019.
So what does that set us up for today? Colonels have won three of the last five games of the series. They've won each of the last 2 days by an 8-5 score, but they'll be taking on Shohei Tomioka in his home debut.
Well, it was great to see Shohei Tomioka get back into the lineup last week in Beloit, his first opportunity in 2022. No, he had a good high hopes here coming into his second season in pro ball in the A's system. Good fastball, curveball, cutter, and we'll see what he can do today against a pesky Cedar Rapids lineup.
The Cedar Rapids pitching staff has the best team ERA in the Midwest League, and they have shown why. Brent Hedrick, another strong start yesterday for them. They'll throw a couple of pitchers today at Lansing. Aaron Rozek, followed by Sean Mooney. What do you make of them?
Yeah, Rozek, a guy that's a three-pitch mix, fastball, cutter, change. He's upped his velocity just a tick over the last couple of years. And then Mooney right behind him, he went through surgery in the offseason, we heard a little bit, and a couple years ago, and he has changed his full arm slot, but he's starting to become more consistent. So if you haven't heard this before, two pretty good arms again today for Cedar Rapids that the Nuts are going to be tested against.
Grab your Marauders map when Mooney takes the mound. When we return, you will hear from Gabriel Maciel. It's going to be an excerpt of an interview that you can find online via LansingLugnuts.com and shared via social. Gabriel Maciel, the outfielder from Brazil who used to play for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and I sat down with him earlier today. That's up next. This is Lansing Lugnuts pregame.
I just don't know what to do anymore.
I wish everyone would just go away.
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about me.
Mind your own business.
I hate my life.
She'll see when I'm gone.
Suicide could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a plea for help. You can help someone before it's too late.
And then she said she wanted to kill herself.
Do something. Contact OK to Say.
By Lansing Lugnuts outfielder Gabriel Maciel and translator Sahid Valenzuela. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Gabriel, how old were you when you first started playing baseball?
I was 19 years old.
Nine years old.
Yeah.
What other sports did you play besides baseball? What other sports?
¿Qué otro deporte jugaste? No más baseball, porque si jugaste otro deporte.
I play soccer too.
So it seems simple for me to think about, you being from Brazil, Brazil's sport is soccer. How did you get started playing baseball?
Que si tú cómo empezaste a jugar béisbol, como el deporte de Brasil más grande es el fútbol.
Yo aprendí a jugar con un vecino mío, él jugaba pelota también, y el hermano jugaba en Japón, y me invitó un día para ir al campo, y así yo conocí el béisbol.
He started off playing because his neighbor, his older brother, used to play in Japan. So they invited him out to the baseball field one time, and then that's how he started playing.
That's awesome. Just to get back to soccer briefly, what position did you play?
¿Qué posición jugaste en fútbol?
Adelante.
Forward.
How many goals did you score?
¿Cuántos goles
metí? Oh, unos.
Some.
Oh, yeah. Who's your favorite soccer team?
Corinthians.
Yeah. Back to baseball. We see you in the outfield. Have you played other positions?
Casi tú has jugado otra posición. Ellos te ven en el outfield, pero si has jugado otra posición.
Sí, sí, en el outfield. Por ejemplo, en infield dice.
Sí, o sea, no has jugado outfield, que si has jugado otra posición en tu carrera.
No, just outfield.
Just outfield.
Yeah.
Okay, from 9 years old, when you first started playing baseball, What was the sequence of events that led to you signing with the Arizona Diamondbacks?
¿Qué fue, o sea, tu, cómo tú llegaste a firmar con Diamondbacks? O sea, desde que tú tuviste los 9 años hasta ese momento.
¿Cómo fue? Uh-huh. Eso, yo fui por una academia en Brasil. Hay una academia donde vive 40 jugadores más o menos. Y ahí empecé mi evolución y mi progreso. Y entonces cuando fui para Japón, ahí yo pude tener la oportunidad de jugar con la selección de Brasil y pude firmar con Arizona.
So, when he was younger, the way it started was he started out at an academy in Brazil where it's about 40 players, they live there. And then once he was able to go to Japan and play for Team Brazil, that's when he was able to start playing professionally.
How was that experience to go play baseball in Japan?
¿Cómo fue la experiencia de jugar béisbol en Japón?
Eso fue una experiencia buena porque eso fue un World Cup de Sochi. Mm-hmm. Entonces ahí tenía Estados Unidos, Cuba, México, tú sabes, esos equipos buenos. Mm-hmm. Entonces ahí yo aprendí mucho.
It was a really good experience because he was able to learn a lot just based on the teams that were there. They were different. It was a World Cup, so there were different teams like Cuba, Mexico, and like other teams around like that. So he learned a lot from just watching and playing.
Who else from your academy and who else did you play with in Brazil that we have seen in Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball?
Que si quien que tú has jugado de Brasil o de ese equipo que está jugando en ligas menores o grandes ligas.
Ligas menores hay mucho, pero en grandes ligas ahora mismo creo que tú sabes Josh Naylor de Canadá.
Oh, sí.
Yeah, he's playing with Canada. I meet with him in the hotel.
So in minor leagues, there's a lot of players, but he said that Josh Naylor from the Indians is somebody that he knows that plays professionally or in the big leagues.
A couple of players who've come through here in Lansing that I'm wondering if you know. Do you know Eric Pardinho?
Yeah, he's from Brazil. Yeah.
Let's see. A player who's older, who's now in the major leagues, but we had here in Lansing. Yan Gomes, the first Brazilian in the major leagues. Have you met Yan?
Yeah, the first time in the academy. He go to there and go like a meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and teach a little kids.
And then Bo Bichette and his older brother Dante were on Brazil's World Baseball Classic team. We had Bo here in Lansing. Have you met Bo?
Yeah, I played with him in Brooklyn for the qualifiers. Mm-hmm. La clasificatoria para clásico. Sí, yo con los dos.
Yeah, he played with both of them in the qualifiers when he was younger.
How was that to be teammates with them?
Que si cómo era eso ser compañero de equipo con los dos.
Pues bueno, Bo estaba todavía estaba él era la misma edad que yo, pero estaba como se dice joven. Mm-hmm. Pero uno pudo ver cuál la diferencia de para nosotros.
Yeah, Bo Bichette was he was the same age as him, but he was obviously a lot younger. So, but you could see the difference in him and the other baseball players, how advanced he was.
So you signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think you were 17 years old. What was your experience like in the Diamondback system?
Que cuando tú firmaste con D-backs a los 17 años, que si cómo fue tu experiencia con ellos?
Una experiencia bueno. Yo aprendí a jugar la pequeña pelota, porque eso una organización que le gusta los jugadores como yo, como rápido, tú sabes. Mm-hmm. Ahí yo pude aprender a jugar los juegos pequeños, a tocar, situación de juego y todo eso.
In that organization, he learned how to play a small ball because that organization they like players like in his size, small, that are fast. So he was able to learn all the small ball, bunt the ball, stealing and all that.
Thank you.
The kids getting us ready for a Capital City Market Kids Day. Lovely rendition of the national anthem on this Sunday, June 5th, 2022. It is a typical, well, a typical Lansing day. About 65 degrees, overcast, some rain above us, below us, but we have a clear situation at Jackson Field for the series finale between the Minnesota Twins High A affiliate, the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and the Oakland Athletics High A affiliate, your Lansing Lugnuts. Game six of this set between the two teams, Lansing looking for a series split with a victory today. With the call of the game, here's the voice of the Nuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Adam Jackson, thank you so much. Lugnuts right-hander Shohei Tomioka is going to take on this Colonels lineup, as made out by the manager, Brian Dinkelman. Leading off the cycle man from yesterday, Alaric Soleri. And I love the nickname given to it. It was the Soul Cycle yesterday. Christian Encarnacion Strand will bat second. Soleri, the second baseman. Encarnacion Strand at third base. Heading third, it's the first baseman, Aaron Zapato. Then the DH, Junior Severino, bats fourth. Heading fifth in left field, Jefferson Morales. Batting sixth, the catcher, Charles Mack. Heading seventh, the shortstop, Will Holland. Heading eighth, the center fielder, Dylan Noisy, makes his MWL debut. And batting ninth, riding off the order, the right fielder, Kenny Taylor. Just a moment, down to the field. Play ball has been declared. Let it be. Soleri, Encarnacion Strand, Zapato, Severino Morales, Mack, Holland, Noisy, Taylor. The nine who will take on Adam, the right-hander out of Kurobe, Japan, Shohei Tomioka.
And the 26-year-old with a fastball, cutter, curve, and a changeup. He started the year on the IL, up with AA Midland, but he comes back down, was sent to Lansing on May 25th, just made his first outing last week on the 29th at Beloit, and he went four innings, gave up just a couple of hits, and one unearned run with three strikeouts. So his home debut here in 2022 after he spent all 2021 in Lansing.
Up steps Alaric Soleri. Lugnuts defensively, Johnny Butler in left, Austin Beck in center, Lawrence Butler in right, Campos at third, Angeles at short, right the second baseman, Soderstrom at first, Matt Cross is the catcher. And at 1:05 p.m., Shohei Tomioka deals. Soleri takes a called strike, according to home plate umpire Nathan Diedrich. We are on time, right on time. Righty, righty. The pitch. Soleri takes ball one outside. Currently, the wind is tugging the American flag hanging high above the right field wall toward home plate. A break even from Tomioka. Soleri takes, strike called on the outside corner. With Soleri's single, double, triple, and home run yesterday, he now has 27 hits, two doubles, three triples, and five home runs for the year. The pitch, he takes, called strike three, and there's Soleri's 49th strikeout of the year. One batter up, one strikeout for Shohei Tomioka.
It's a better start against Mr. Soleri than what we saw yesterday from Nuts pitching.
Yesterday it was Blake Beers who got the start, and Soleri led off the game with a triple.
Nearly was a home run, which would have spoiled his cycle.
And then, when he homered in the eighth, he could have stopped at third base and said, nah, I'm good. Christian Encarnacion Strand takes a called strike one, the curve from Tomioka. And Encarnacion Strand, of course, another fine game yesterday. He takes a ball outside. Drove in a run early, brought in Soleri following the triple with a ground out. Later in the game, walked, doubled, hit by a pitch, reaching base in his final three trips, and he scored a run. An 8-5 Colonels win. Righty, righty, no score. The pitch. That's down low. And it's two balls and one strike on the powerful Encarnacion Strand. Christian Encarnacion Strand ranking atop the Midwest League in a lot of categories. The Midwest League's April Player of the Month. Open stance, socks up high. The pitch. Fouled away to the right side, and it's 2-2. Encarnacion Strand's 57 hits leads the Midwest League. His 42 RBIs leads the Midwest League. So does his 101 total bases. Here comes the 2-2 from Tomioka. Inside, count is full. Fastball. Aaron Sabato's on deck. Encarnacion Strand drafted last year in the fourth round by the Twins. Payoff. Curveball hit high in the air to left. Fair or foul? Foul. We stay 3-2, making a bid for his 10th home run of the year. 10 homers puts him just outside the league leaders. Lansing's Tyler Soderstrom with 10 is tied for fourth in the league. Johnny DeLuca leads the league with Junkenzie Noel of Lake County with 13. Tried once more, 3-2. That's poked down the right field line, but that goes foul. So a hanging curve walloped down the left side. That looked like the cutter, Adam, that he just jolted down the right side. A leadoff strike out of Soleri looking. Out of 3-2 from Tomioka to Encarnacion Strand. Fouled straight back. Boy, he just missed the fastball. I remember talking to you about Encarnacion Strand the second day of the year, saying, you know, Cedar Rapids is a guy who knocked in 9 runs on opening day. Scoreless in the first, one out, nobody on. A payoff. Swing and a miss. A fastball blown by him up and in. Back-to-back strikeouts for Tomioka to start this one.
I like that pitch there from Tomioka. Encarnacion Strand was swinging at everything. He was making contacts, swinging with confidence. So Tomioka brings it up out of the zone a little bit towards his bat and gets the swing and miss.
54th strikeout for Encarnacion Strand. 2 strikeouts, nobody on. Top of the first, no score. Aaron Sabato takes ball one in. Aaron Sabato on his birthday yesterday. And all he did was single, draw 2 walks, score a run. He takes ball 2 down and away, a curveball. Sabato has raised his batting average up to .223 in this series. 7 doubles, 6 home runs. He has massive power. Here's the pitch. A curveball. Hooking in for a called strike. Big, slow curve from Tomioka. And Adam, you and I have watched that curve and noted that that has been the key to his success. 2-1. It's a hitter's count. The pitch. A swing and a foul at home plate. And the count is even.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to run off that fastball and that cutter. High-paced pitches, if you can locate that curve and keep the hitters guessing. And Tomioka, when he did that last year in outings, he was very difficult to get on base against.
A 2-2. Sabato strokes it to deep center. Austin Beck turns his back around and plays the carom off the wall. Sabato rushes for second base. The throw one hops in late. He's in there feet first with a double. 8th double of the year for Aaron Sabato.
And that's all that these Colonels have done all series long. Extra base hits galore. Nice that this one comes at least with 2 outs in the inning, but another hard hit ball tagged to straightaway center.
And now Junior Severino. Severino has doubled and tripled in this series. Switch hitter, bats left, scoreless in the first, 2 outs. Sabato away from second. Tomioka looks at him, deals. Swing and a miss. Off speed, strike 1. Severino has played in 3 games of the series. He's 4-for-12 with 2 walks. Here it comes. Shot toward short. 1 hop for Angeles backing up to grab. Flat-footed wings over to Soderstrom at first base in time. Side retired. The double is stranded. It's a scoreless first inning for Shohei Tomioka. Let's go to the home half now. The Lansing Lugnuts are coming up when we return, taking on the lefty Aaron Rozek.
And other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Up come the Lansing Lugnuts for the bottom of the first inning.
Adam Jaxa by my side. I am Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
The lefty Aaron Roszak will oppose Johnny Butler, Aribil Angeles, and Tyler Soderstrom. No score in the game. Lefty, lefty. Johnny Butler waits. Roszak throws. First offering right down the middle, called strike one. Adam, who is this southpaw, Mr. Roszak?
Well, he completes the 26-year-old versus 26-year-old matchup on the hill today.
Butler takes, down low and away, bouncing in. 1-1.
He's 5-2 this year with an ERA of 4.5, 6-2, 225. The lefty hails from Burnsville, Minnesota, and went to Minnesota State University, Mankato.
Butler grounds it foul, hard off the right side, strike two.
Predominantly known for their hockey up there in Minnesota, they were the D1 runners-up this year to Denver.
Do you know what I know Mankato for also is they have a summer wooden bat league team. I believe the Mankato Moondogs. Butler grounds it, past the mound, back of second base, nabbed by shortstop Holland, rifles to first, in time to get the speedy Butler. There's one out. Do you know what Minnesota State Mankato's nickname is?
The Mavericks.
Yes, sir. The Mavs. Had a baby. Wasn't Brody Rodning a Minnesota State University
yes.
athlete? Lefty when the Lugnuts were affiliated with the Blue Jays. Aribil Angeles comes up next. They shift to the other side with the right-handed batter. No score. First pitch. Breaking ball in there. Strike called. It is Will Holland at shortstop with Alaric Soleri at second. Aaron Sabato is the first baseman. Over third base, Christian Encarnacion Strand. The pitch hit in the air on the right side. Second baseman Soleri traps over. And right next to Sabato, he puts it away. Angeles is out number two. In the outfield, Kenny Taylor's in right. Dylan Noisy is in center. And Jefferson Morales is in left. Day off for Kyler Fedko.
You would have loved watching their hockey team, Jesse. Dryden McKay won the Hobie Baker Award. He's the great goalie for their hockey team this year. They had won like 25 straight games or something going into the national championship before they lost.
Oh. The pitch to Tyler Soderstrom. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Can't wait to look back. Snapshot of the team in, what, 5 years? The pitch. Breaking ball. That's down low. 1-1. One of my favorite things to see. All those guys and how do they do at the next level in the professional ranks. Tyler Soderstrom, the A's first rounder in 2020, batting two outs, nobody on, no score. Swings and bounces a curveball foul off to the right side. And it's 1-2. Soderstrom leads the Lugnuts 10 home runs this year. Also leads the squad with 32 RBIs, and both of those place him in the top five in the Midwest League. Here it comes from Roszak. Soderstrom takes ball two. Down and in.
It's fascinating with Soderstrom, Jesse. I think you agree. We don't even feel like he's taken off yet, and he's still sitting amongst the highest guys in the Midwest League so far.
Very much agreed. Break even. Fastball for a called strike three on the outside corner. Rozek's first K ends a 1-2-3 bottom of the first inning. Let's go to the second. We are scoreless in Lansing between the Colonels and the Lugnuts.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Jefferson Morales will get the second inning going for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the Twins' High A affiliate, against the Oakland A's High A team, the Lansing Lugnuts, with the right-hander Shohei Tomioka. Tomioka pitched around a two-out double in the first inning, a scoreless frame. Nothing to nothing between the Lugnuts and the Colonels. Morales to be followed by Mack and Holland, 5-6-7, in the order for the Colonels here in the second inning, wearing their red alternate road jerseys. Righty-righty. Tomioka to Morales. First offering in there, slicing through for a called strike with the breaking ball. And we've seen Morales at catcher. We've seen him today for the second time in left field. The pitch, a fastball grounded foul up the left side. Strike two. And Morales comes in hitting 245 in 29 games. On base percentage, 333. He walks a little. He gets hit by pitches a lot. Where the feet wide spread, deep into the knees bent. Pitch on its way. Curveball swung at and missed. Strike three. Not caught by catcher Cross, but now he applies the tag. And strikeout number three for Shohei Tomioka. It is such a fascinating stance for Jefferson Morales. I mean, he gets deep into that crouch. And Shohei Tomioka broke the curveball right through his zone and tempted him. Now Tomioka against Charles Mack, a left-handed batter. One out, nobody on in the second, no score. Cross sets up away. The pitch. A fastball is lifted high in the air out to left. Johnny Butler's under it. He waits, and a one-hand catch. There's two outs.
I would call it a brave stance from Morales because he gets a lot of balls coming in towards his head right by him because he's hugging the plate right there, but he makes it work.
Well, and also because his feet are spread so wide, I would think that it would be difficult for him to get out of the way. He gets really dug in. Here's Will Holland, feet not spread wide apart. Righty, righty. Two outs, nobody on. Holland grounds to third base. Wicked hop on Campos. And then skipping right over the head of shortstop Angeles. In a left field it travels. Johnny Butler gets it into second as soon as he can. Will Holland is on at first. Official score rules error on third baseman Alex Campos. First error for Campos in his third game with the Lugnuts.
He's made some really nice plays over there at third base, too, but that ball was hit really hard, and he's playing in towards even with the bag at third, so it got to him a little bit faster and just couldn't quite handle that shot from Holland.
And now the first plate appearance in the Midwest League for Dylan Noisy. But first we wait for Will Holland to take off all the batting equipment. Is he ready? Tomioka checks in. Manager Brian Dinkelman across the way at third base. Everybody gives the green light, and Tomioka to Noisy. No score in the second. Shohei fires. Inside, ball one. Dylan Noisy, a 17th rounder last year, 519th overall out of Texas Tech. And the Lugnuts, affiliated with the Oakland A's. A's fans know that last name of Noisy. Sheldon Noisy's in the Major League for the A's. Ball one offering. Runner takes off. Pitches line slicing, twisting down the right field line. Foul right of the pole. One ball and one strike.
You remember our conversation about the English language?
Yes.
Yes. No rules when it comes to this last name.
Noisy. N-E-U-S-E. And we checked in. He's not. He's quiet. Played in 31 games for the Mighty Muscles to begin this year. Hit .211, .330 on base percentage, a couple of home runs, a couple of steals. Time is called. I believe we've got an infraction spotted on Shohei Tomioka. And yes, two balls and one strike. Will Holland is trotting up to second base. They're going to send him back to first. He was saying, if nobody called for time, let me just grab this bag. On the bases umpire, Ken Jackson looked back over his shoulder at him as if to say, what are you doing? Get back there.
That's a big smile from Will Holland over there, just trying anything to take an extra 90 feet, get into scoring position.
Just a pitch clock infraction, not a balk. 2-1, hitter's cat for Noisy. Holland tried running earlier, not here. Noisy takes ball three outside. We asked Thomas Breach, the voice of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, what do you expect from Dylan Noisy? And he said he does a little bit of everything. There's some power, there's some speed, there's some defense, hitting ability, draws walks. Help out this team in a lot of different ways. Just called up to replace Anthony Prado. Holland runs the pitch fouled back. And the count is full. Stadium radar gun consistently showing 94 for this Tomioka fastball. Right in on the hands. Holland, the runner at first base, 9 for 10 in steals. And now you know he's going. 3-2, two out. No score in the second. Here he goes, the pitch. Fouled back into the screen on the right side. Tomioka broke off a curveball, and Noisy spoiled it.
I always think what an asset it must be when you have a older brother that's gone through the same stuff you're going through now, has made it to the big leagues, and it's been quite the path for Sheldon Noisy, now in his second stint with the A's.
Once more, the payoff. Holland runs. Noisy swings, lines it right to third baseman Campos, and I think he broke his bat too. Side retired. Let's go to the bottom of the second inning. The error by Campos does not hurt. We remain scoreless between the Lugnuts and the Colonels from Michigan State Capitol.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go nuts.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Lefty Aaron Rozek opens up the bottom of the second, dealing to Austin Beck. Beck takes ball one low and away. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, accompanied by Adam Jaxa. Our score is 0-0. Lugnuts and Colonels in the series finale. 1-0. On the outside corner, strike called to Beck. Beck, Butler, Armenteros. Right-handed batter, lefty. Right-handed batter against the southpaw, Rozek. 4-5-6 in the order. Pitch on its way. Beck lines one over the shortstop, Holland. A base hit in the left field. Retrieved by Jefferson Morales. He gets it in. A leadoff single for Austin Beck. Beck collects his 30th hit of the year. He is on in front of Lawrence Butler. This has been a darn productive series for Beck offensively. Lefty-lefty the matchup now. Rozek lets it fly. Breaking ball away, ball one. So now for Austin Beck, 6-for-19 against the Colonels. Plus a walk. Also a couple of sacrifice flies. He has driven in 7. And now we'll see if a teammate can drive him in for the game's first run. The 1-0. Butler drives it to center. Noisy races back. He's looking up. It is long gone off the building. Lawrence Butler touches up the bricks with a 2-run shot. 2-0, Lugnuts. It is his 5th home run of the year. And it's a monster blast for Lawrence Butler.
That's got to feel good because we've seen a lot of singles, a lot of weak contact in this series from good Colonels pitching, but that was smashed by Butler.
Now Lázaro Armenteros, who has hit a couple of huge homers in the series, takes the off-speed away, ball one. Aaron Rozek allows his 8th home run of the year, and that leads all Colonels pitchers. He delivers. Outside again. 2 balls and 0 strikes.
Haven't seen a ton of home runs from the Nuts, Jesse, but the ones that have been hit, like Armenteros yesterday, that one by Butler, they have been pulverized.
2-0. Nobody on, nobody out. Armenteros takes strike one called. Good off speed on the outer third. Seemed to my eyes that it hit off the bricks just above the first floor. The pitch, outside corner, strike two called. So I would say just maybe a couple of feet away from landing in a balcony on one of the first level of apartments. There are 3 levels of apartments above the first floor. A 2-2, went around too far, strike three, says the home plate umpire Diedrich, off the curveball by Rozek. Second strike out for the lefty. One out in the home second.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. We saw some fans out there on the balconies. Not any today. I think it's a sleepy Sunday, so maybe still waking up as we hit 1:30 here in Lansing. But a blast off the bricks may help them get acquainted with what's going on today.
Yeah, I would think so. The pitch to Matt Cross. Misses inside, ball one. Thomas Breach, the voice of the Colonels, visited. And he shared with us the news that Matt Cross, the Lugnuts catcher, and Charles Mack, the Cedar Rapids catcher, had been on the same travel ball team. Cross takes a ball outside, 2-0. And so whenever either one of them bats, they get to check in and schmooze. Catch up, relate some old memories, maybe a little bit of trash talking. Rozek throws. Ball 3 low. Crosses 2 doubles, 2 homers this year. Both home runs in the same game. 2-run shots, each of them, to help the Lugnuts stun the Great Lakes Loons in Midland. Here comes the 3-0 pitch. Taking all the way. Nips across the outside corner. Strike called. The Lugnuts are on top, 2-0 in the bottom of the second inning. A home run by Lawrence Butler to dead center. A 3-1 pitch. That's low for ball 4. Matt Cross is on. First walk given out by Rozek. And Joshua Wright is coming up now. But first the catcher, Mack, goes out, visits Rozek. A Aaron Rozek in his prior start, the last time out, tossed five scoreless innings against the tough Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. But not scoreless here today. Lawrence Butler made sure of that. Cross at first, one out. First pitch to right. Josh one swings and misses. Strike one. Yesterday, the Lugnuts held a fun event. They divided up all the hitters into two teams. They set up the pitching machine, and they played a game. And a one. Right swings, lines it up through the middle. Second base, so Larry takes it off the ground, stepping on second, throwing to first. And that ends the inning. A double play, four unassisted to three. Josh Wainwright, who hit so well in the game yesterday, he erases Matt Cross, and he sends us to the third. But two hits, two runs. Lawrence Butler blasting off to center. Home run number five this year, and it's a 2-0 Lugnuts lead. Adam Jackson will have the call when we return to Jackson Field.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Lansing leading 2-0 thanks to the two-run shot from Lawrence Butler as we bring you back to Jackson Field for the start of the third. Shohei Tomioka out there, and his first pitch of the third is the cutter on the outer part of the plate, strike one to Kenny Taylor. Open stance from the right-hander, 2-for-8 in this series as he grips the bat. The pitch, that's a little wide. 1-1. First time through the order outside of Taylor so far for Shohei. He's given up a double, and one man reached on an error outside of that. 3 strikeouts, no harm done. The pitch swoops in on the outside corner. 1-2 for the righty. And 26-year-old Shohei Tomioka, 6-foot, 190-pounder from Kurobe, Japan. Set from the stretch, throws in by the wrists. And Taylor holds back just enough. 2-2. Taylor wears number 44, the 5'11", 170-pounder from Tampa, Florida. The pitch home. Smacked foul down the first base side. And it remains 2-2. Gloomy Sunday afternoon in early June. Right around 65 degrees. We saw rain earlier today and rain coming throughout the day. But try here to start this game. 2-2 pitch. Hammered out to left field and a base hit as it rolls its way to Johnny Butler. Taylor waited on the curve, and it was left up by Tomioka. And a line drive single, the second hit for the Colonels as they turn the card back over to the top. Yesterday, an 8-5 victory for the Colonels. The day before, an 8-5 victory for the Colonels. Lansing won 7-3 before that. 3 wins in all for the Colonels and 2 for the Lugnuts this week. Check over at first as Soderstrom applies the tag on the back of Taylor. He's back safely. The star of last night, though, was Alaric Soleri as he digs in again from the right side. A cycle here at Jackson Field. The pitch home. Bounce ball off the plate, could be two. Joshuan has it, tagged second, throws to first. It's a double play. Well, Joshuan Wright just had that happen to him, and he says, I can do that as well. A little payback. Four unassisted over to three, and there are two away, and the bases are clear.
Did that feel nonchalant to you?
Yeah, like he was just going for a Sunday stroll and happened to tag a bag and throw over to first.
Oh, look, second base is right here. Oh, look, there's my friend Tyler Soderstrom. Maybe he wants the baseball.
In fact, he did want the baseball. First pitch, down low to Christian Encarnacion Strand. You know, sports are about sharing, right? It's a team game. Now, I know he did take the ball to second himself, but then threw it over to Soderstrom for the double play. And now Encarnacion Strand. Pitch, that's up high. Two balls, no strikes. 2-0 Nuts in the third. That's a really important double play, too, because when this man comes up, you want the bases clear. 9 home runs this year. Nearly had one in his first at-bat. The pitch. Walloped out to center field. Base hit, and it's running towards the alley in left center. Cut off by Beck before the track. Heading for second is Encarnacion Strand, and he's in with a sliding feet-first double as the ball comes a little too high and actually makes its way to Shohei Tomioka just beyond the mound on the throw-in from Beck. Extra base hits continue from Encarnacion Strand. He has just been a really difficult out for the Lugnuts in this series. That's now his 12th double this season. And again, makes that double play all that much more important to keep this a 2-0 lead. Next pitch, in there, strike one to Aaron Sabato. He doubled in the first inning. The key today, even though the extra base hit's still coming for the Colonels, they're getting them with two outs. Tomioka's done a good job of getting a couple outs, got the double play, got a couple strikeouts earlier. 0-1, ripped foul, third base side. No balls, two strikes. Encarnacion Strand now with the 12 doubles, three triples, and 9 home runs. 24 extra base hits, an average up around 300. He is having a heck of a season so far, and this even after he cooled off in the month of May. The 0-2, that comes inside and backs up Sabato. One ball, two strikes.
Feel like the Lugnuts have tried a bunch of different ways to pitch him, and now as the series is nearing a close, they haven't figured out the answer yet.
Well, the best answer is to see Cedar Rapids get out of town. Good news, series finale is today. 1-2. That's up and in, and bending back is Sabato. He's had to go to flexibility here on the last two pitches as Tomioka has missed with that fastball in. 2-0 Lansing in the top of the third. Encarnacion Strand at second. Aaron Sabato, 6 for 12 in this series. The pitch. That's back up the middle to the left side of Beck. He comes over, plays it. Here comes a play at the plate, but the throw is up line, and it's cut off by Soderstrom. It's an RBI single for Sabato. Cuts the Nuts lead in half, 2-1. First time that Cedar Rapids is getting to Shohei Tomioka. It's the second time through the order, and they've got a three-hit third inning. So Sabato drives in his third run of the series, gets his seventh hit. He's batting over 500. Severino steps in and takes the cutter low and in inside for ball one. Four hits for the Colonels. But Lansing leads on the scoreboard 2-1 thanks to the long ball of Lawrence Butler, giving Cedar Rapids a little taste of their own medicine in this series. The 1-0 pitch. Down low, two balls, no strikes. Lansing has put the ball on the ground. Good note from broadcaster for the Colonels. Thomas got it in his notes. 49% of their balls have been hit on the ground in this series. The 2-0, that's low. Three balls and no strikes. which makes sense, Jesse, because correct me if I'm wrong here, we had Soderstrom, Armenteros, the two home runs on Tuesday, then we had Soderstrom's home run yesterday, and then just had Lawrence Butler's only a few home runs for the Nuts when they have been cranking them out at home this year. 3-0 pitch. That's just a touch outside. It's ball four, and there are runners at first and second in this third inning for the Colonels as they look to tie the score or perhaps take their first lead. What's the antidote to good hitting? Well, good pitching, and the Colonels have the best ERA in the Midwest League coming into this series and coming into today.
They've earned it, and this is especially continuing when we have seen promotions starting to strike Cedar Rapids before this series began, and then during the series, Melvia Costa goes up, Andrew Cabezas goes up. They also lost a great hitter, and Anthony Prado moving up to Double-A, and then Brian Dinkelman and the Cedar Rapids Colonels squad. They are battling for a playoff position atop the West Division into the final couple of weeks of this first half, and they're continuing to come through in all facets, especially their great pitchers.
We've got a visit out there. Don Schulze, the Lugnuts interpreter, and the entire infield joining him as well. Talking to Shohei Tomioka to check in here with runners at first and second and two outs. Lugnuts leading 2-1. Now standings today as we come into play, game 51 for both these teams. Cedar Rapids sitting a couple of games ahead of Wisconsin in the Midwest League West Division, 32-18 through 50 games. Wisconsin an even 30-20, and then South Bend 28-22. So 4 games back. That's a huge series coming up for the Colonels and the Cubs, as that's where Cedar Rapids heads to next. We'll start that series on Tuesday in South Bend. Jefferson Morales steps in with that low structured stance. A two hopper gets through the left side of the infield and out to Johnny Butler. They're sending Sabato home. The throw is high to home plate to cross. We're tied at two, and on the throw, both runners advance a base to second and third. Another RBI single, and this game is all squared at two apiece. It's now 4 straight that have reached against Shohei Tomioka in this third inning. So how important is that double play ball right now from Josh Juan Wright? That still remains the only two outs to Alaric Solari, arguably the hottest hitter in this lineup after the cycle yesterday. Second and third, two outs, Charles Mack. And the pitch misses, ball one. Base hit, ground out, double play, double, single, walk, single. How this third inning has gone. Cedar Rapids has answered the two from the Nuts. The pitch popped up, left side of the diamond. Angeles is back from his shortstop position in shallow left. Butler comes in, calls him off last minute, makes the catch to the left of his shoulder there. And that will do it for the third inning. But an impressive third inning from the Cedar Rapids Colonels. They collect 4 hits and 2 runs. We're tied at 2, heading to the bottom of the third at Jackson Field.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org. and find out how you can become one in a million.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
It's a brand new game as we bring you to the bottom of the third inning at Jackson Field in the series finale. 2-2 between Cedar Rapids and Lansing. Appreciate you spending your Sunday, the first Sunday here in early June with us. Lansing looking for a series split, but they'll look to try and retake the lead as Alex Campos in his third game with the Nuts steps in. The pitch. That's a little bit wide. Ball one. Aaron Rozek throws the second pitch. On the ground is short. Rolling into the mid of Holland. Scoops, throws high to first and safe. The call for Campos. Catch made by Sabato. But he couldn't keep either foot down when he had to lunge up and keep that ball from going perhaps into the stands. And that'll be an E6 on Holland, and it affords Campos and the Lugnuts a leadoff man on in the third. We've talked about it so much, Jesse, with this Cedar Rapids squad. They are complete hitting, pitching, but their defense is certainly the weakness. Another error for them, that's 57 this year. This pitch spoiled back up towards the suites and pops off the roof. No balls and a strike on Johnny Butler as he works against the left-handed Aaron Rozek. Butler 3-for-12 in this series, leading off today as Drew Swift gets an off day. The pitch, 0-1 is sprayed foul, straightening it out a little bit further as it hops over the Pepsi porch and into the netting that keeps the baseballs from going to Cedar Street where traffic passes. A couple of runs, a couple of RBIs, and three walks and a stolen base in this series for Butler, man out of NC State. Lefty-lefty matchup, and we'll get a throw back to first as Campos circles the bag.
I think with that idea, the conversation about defense, the offense and the pitching grabs the eye so much. But there is a reason, right? This is high A baseball. They're here to develop and work and get their reps on a day-to-day basis. Defense is the emphasis.
That pitch down low. Good eye from Butler. One ball, two strikes. Defense certainly something they can continue to work on. But again, you've got good structure on your team. When you've got good hitting, good pitching, hard to go 3-for-3 in all facets. But that's something that Cedar Rapids will look to accomplish as this season goes on. 1-2. Reached down and just staying alive is Butler as he fouled that one off by his shoe tops.
The difficulty of being a poor defensive team is you put more strain on your pitchers because you're giving the opposition extra outs. Your pitchers have to use more pitches.
2-2 our score, bottom three, one on, nobody out. And a 1-2 pitch coming to Butler. Bounces it back up the middle, perfectly played by the shortstop. Holland tags the bag at second, throws to first, a double play. The third double play we've already seen between these two teams. And they had Butler perfectly positioned up the middle.
It's also redemption for Will Holland. It's his throwing error. So here's a bouncer to erase the runner that you put on.
And bags clear for Eurybiel Angeles. The pitch, that's down low, ball one. Angeles, as he typically does, sporting the pink cleats and the pink ankle guard on that front left foot with the pink batting gloves as well. The pitch, 1-0 is outside, two balls, no strikes. Always joked at the beginning of the year, Eurybiel still had his Padres brown batting gloves because he just got traded the week the season began at the minor league level. 2-0. That's outside. Three balls, no strikes. But he's since collected some new batting gloves. The Lansing Lugnuts. He's got some bright red ones going with the pinks today on this Sunday. 3-0. That's in there. Strike one on Angeles. Had the day off yesterday. Sits in the two spot today. Base is clear and two away. The pitch from Rozek. In there, strike two. Seventh time that Angeles is hit in this second spot this year. Payoff, broken bat, and that ball rolls slowly foul up the first base side. Almost like just a chip there from the bat. About halfway down the third baseline. So a new stick tossed out to Anjales, and he'll try again. Not sure where that came off there. I think right in the middle of the bat.
He was so out in front that it hit the bat in a place where a bat does not usually and is not supposed to hit a baseball.
That bat felt the effects. 3-2. Swing and a miss. Good pitch. Low and away from Rozek. And Anjales couldn't chase and catch up to it. So that will do it for the third. An error as Campos reaches, erased by a double play, and then a strikeout. We are through three, tied at two at Jackson Field.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL, opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country, and tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets, anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Two to two, our score as we come to the top of the fourth inning at Jackson Field. Rain has started to fall slowly as we're expecting rain throughout the forecast today. Kind of an overcast afternoon. Lugnuts took the 2-0 lead in the second. Cedar Rapids came right back with two in the top of the third. No runs for the Nuts in the bottom of the third. So here come the Colonels against Shohei Tomioka in the fourth. Will Holland steps in. First pitch. And that's in there. Strike one. 89 on the gun. Looked like the cutter there from Tomioka. Cutting from left to right across the plate on the righty. Second pitch. Fastball, and that's hammered. Deep out to left field. High into the gray sky. That ball is crushed. A home run as it hops out to Cedar Street. Look out, oncoming traffic. And the Colonels have the lead, 3-2. Fourth home run for Will Holland.
Did that hit the vehicle driving southbound? I saw the driver slow down.
It did not. The driver was aware and was able to avoid. Close, though.
Tomioka tried to come in on the hands, and Will Holland turned on it and unloaded.
So back-to-back half innings where Cedar Rapids gets runs. They're up 3-2 now, and here's Dylan Noisy in his debut. High A. First pitch is in there. Strike one. Noisy, the brother of Sheldon, who's up with the Athletics right now. The 0-1. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Lined out to Campos at third base in his first at-bat, a Texas Tech Red Raider. Sheldon, an Oklahoma Sooner. An A, then a Dodger, now an A. And his brother, Dylan, with the Twins. That pitch flies outside. One ball, two strikes. Noisy out of Fort Worth, Texas, was the 17th round selection in 2021. Texas Tech, really good baseball program down there. 1-2. In on the hands, and that ball is juggled and caught on a knee by Shohei Tomioka. A comebacker, and he squeezed it and held on. First out of the fourth.
I think if I was a pitcher, that's exactly how I'd like the ball to be hit at me. arm's length away, and not with such velocity that you can't react. Here's the replay.
Yeah, really had to extend that left arm out there to go get it, and had enough time to do so, as Jesse mentioned. Kind of a soft but liner that got there quickly. Kenny Taylor takes the first pitch, low and outside. 3-2 our score. We're in the top of the fourth. Lugnuts trailing by a run. Base is clear, one out. The pitch, that bounces and comes up to Cross, who scoops it. Two balls, no strikes on Taylor, who had a base hit. He really got things going for Cedar Rapids in the last half inning. The initial base hit, then double play, but then came four straight batters that reached with three hits and a walk and two runs scoring as well. Pitches up high, 3-0.
The big key for Lansing's offense in the series has just been to have the Lugnuts pitchers keep the offense in the game, because the Lugnuts have been able to score against Cedar Rapids pen. It's just that the Colonels have been able to build the lead.
3-0. Turning in at the shoulder is Taylor. Takes the curve for strike one. A cutter, rather, at the inside part of the plate. That's exactly right. Trying to limit the damage against these Colonels that have been really good offensively. Open stance from the right side for Taylor. And that is going to be ball four.
Took too long.
So the pitch penalty makes it a walk, and here comes Phil Pohl, and that might be it for Shohei Tomioka here in this fourth inning.
How frustrating is that? The last pitch that you throw is a pitch that you don't throw.
That's an unsettling feeling, I can imagine, to end your day. And Tomioka gives the ball up to Phil Pohl, pats him on the back, and got a new man on the mound for the Nuts. As Lansing trails 3-2 as Tomioka exits with one out and a runner on first in this fourth inning.
To Joe Demers in just a second, Adam, but I want to stick with Tomioka and that pitch clock infraction. Keep in mind, pitchers like Joe Demers, all those pitchers who had been with the Lugnuts since opening day, they'd been practicing with that pitch clock, and then umpires had that grace period where they would warn them, you're taking too long, they wouldn't call it hard line, and then they started to introduce it. Tomioka just joined the team. There was no grace period for him.
And it really wasn't a very long grace period for the entire Midwest League. It was less than a week, and then off we go. Get used to it. And I know a lot of these guys are coming from A-level ball, where the pitch clock was enforced last year, so they're a little bit more used to it. But still, to come into a full year and have things change that quickly, they've had to adapt quickly. But you're right. For guys that are coming off the IL, haven't participated in it yet, a little more difficult to get used to that. But as it be, it's a walk to exit Shohei Tomioka, and in comes Joe Demers. As Jesse mentioned, the right-hander trying to keep this offense in check for Cedar Rapids.
The 11th rounder out of the University of Washington, who 4 years ago was a Gold Glove winner at pitcher, pitched earlier in this series, and Demers, 1 2/3 innings, scoreless, picked up the win. That was back on Thursday. This is his 15th appearance of the year, Adam.
All right. Thanks so much, Jesse. We go back to the top of the order. No surprise. That's why Tomioka exits. So Larry, big swing and a miss. Nice pitch from Joe Demers as that slid in there. Alaric Solari cycle yesterday. Reached five times as you throw in a walk as well, but he's 0-2 today. Strikeout, ground out, quick throw back to first. Soderstrom tags, but Taylor gets in. Demers with that big beard wrapped around his face. Not quite the length of some of the others, like a Brock Whittlesey on this team. Runner takes off for second, throw off speed inside, down to second. The tag applied in time, as Wright got it down on the side of Taylor, who was trying to slide around it. Great throw by Matt Cross.
Keep in mind, too, wet conditions with the rain falling, that's not good for a runner. But Matt Cross put that throw right on the bag, first base side, exactly as he intended.
Kind of an awkward pitch for him to try and throw down to second as well. 1-1. That's a little bit wide, 2-1. It was off speed and inside for a right-handed thrower in Cross, so had to come to his left and then straighten it out, get to second after a pretty good jump from Taylor and still got him. The 2-1. Lifted out to center, not deep. Beck comes in. Couple of struts to his right, two hands above his head, makes the catch, and will fire the baseball up to the fans that enjoying this Sunday afternoon game from out in the outfield here on the 360 concourse at Jackson Field. A home run, though, for Will Holland has put Cedar Rapids in front for the first time, 3-2, headed to the bottom of the fourth.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will? Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the action. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
All right, and we begin the bottom of the fourth inning. Tyler Soderstrom takes strike one on the inner part of the plate. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. 3-2, Cedar Rapids leading. Soderstrom against Aaron Rozek. And the pitch curves in there. Strike two. Frustrating series for Soderstrom. He's had some nice swings, but he's had a lot of strikeouts as well. One more today to open up his plate appearances. 0-2. That's down low. One ball, two strikes on Soderstrom. Still trying to find that consistency. The youngster has had some potent at-bats, though. 1-2. Swing and fouls that off. And it remains a ball and two strikes on Tyler Soderstrom, now the second-ranked prospect in the A's organization. 10 strikeouts this week against Cedar Rapids. Comes in 5 for 20 in this series. Does have a double and a home run. 1-2. Breaking ball out in front of it. Swing and a miss as he went down to try and get to it. And you can tell he is just frustrated. One of those moments in the game of baseball where you just can't figure things out. And that's strikeout number 11 for Tyler in this series.
I think Rozek has done a good job at keeping him guessing. Soderstrom was off balance throughout that at bat.
Here's Austin Beck. He's had an excellent series. Base hit earlier, scored a run. The pitch flies in, strike one. It's the bottom of the fourth, which means it's trivia time. We all love trivia time, so we'll get you that trivia question coming up here in a second. The 0-1, hammered out to left field, scalded into the gray skies, back towards home run hill, out of here. Austin Beck goes yard for the eighth time this year. We're tied at 3.
It's a bad mistake if you leave it up to Austin Beck, and he walloped it.
Beck has consistently had a couple of hits the last few games, and he's got two more today. A single, run scored, and of course the home run. 2 for 2, and we are tied.
As uncomfortable as Tyler Soderstrom has looked in this series, Beck has been the exact opposite.
Exactly right. Here's Lawrence Butler. Takes a pitch on the outside corner, strike one. 380 feet and 101 off the bat there from Beck. Big time swing. 0-1. Curve down low. One ball, one strike. All right, Jesse, so for some trivia here, Remember, we were talking about the 72 World Series. The A's beat the Reds in seven games yesterday. They were honoring them at the Coliseum. 1-1. Swing and a foul tip.
Hares squares.
That's right. And the Hares got the job done with that 3-2 win in Cincy to win the first of three straight World Series. So in that game, it was Sunday, October 22nd, 1972, back at Riverfront Stadium. 1-2 pitch. That's on the ground. Weakly hit over towards the third baseman. Encarnacion Strand gets a piece of it, doesn't get it clean, and then throws to first late. And that's going to be E5 on Christian Encarnacion Strand. So Butler is on for a second time. The second error today from the left side of the diamond from Encarnacion Strand. The other was from Will Hollins. One on, one out. And here comes Lázaro Armenteros. First pitch to Armenteros. Swings through it, strike one. The A's scored two runs in the sixth inning to take a 3-1 lead, eventually held on to win 3-2. Who had the game-winning RBI? That's your trivia question today. The 0-1. Lifted out to right field, fading foul, and it's to the right of the fly Lansing foul pole up towards the Sparrow Stairs. No balls, two strikes. 1972 World Series Game 7. The Athletics beat the Reds. Who had the game-winning RBI in that game? At Adam Jaxa, at Jay Goldstrass on Twitter for your answers. Let us know. Runner takes off for second. Butler is picked off. Sabato throws down to second, and the ball is not caught by Soleri, and Butler gets away with it. He was leaning towards second. Rozek saw it, and Lawrence gets in safely with a stolen base.
Official score is going to charge a missed catch error to second baseman Soleri.
All right, so a second error in this fourth inning. And that allows Butler to get to first and then now get to second. The 0-2. Down low, one ball, two strikes. By the way, for trivia, email jgoldstrass@lansinglugnuts.com. 50 years ago, the 1972 World Series. Lansing just gave up the lead. They've tied it, now looking to regain the lead. The pitch. Armenteros swings and misses. That one fell right out of the zone. Good pitch. Nice change piece. And that's the second strikeout in this half inning for Rozek, the fifth of the game. So it'll be up to Matt Cross, tied at three in this fourth inning. Cedar Rapids out hitting Lansing 6-3, but the Colonels have committed three errors. 57, 58, and 59 on the year. High looping breaking ball on the inner half of the plate, strike one to Cross. He walked in his first at bat in the second. Now bats here with Butler at second. Rozek sets and throws. Swing and a miss from Cross. 0-2. Cross batting 123 with a couple home runs. They both came in the same day a couple of weeks ago in Midland against the Great Lakes Loons. Driven in seven this year. Would love to make it eight with a speedy Butler at second. 0-2 pitch. Lifted in the infield, second base side. Soleri coming in. Shortstop calls him off. Holland makes the catch on the infield grass just in front of second. That's going to do it for the Nuts in the fourth. But the home run swings have come back out today. Austin Beck gets his eighth. And we are tied at three in the fourth. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler back on the play-by-play right after this.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's OK. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
And Austin Beck home run has given the Lansing Lugnuts the lead. It's 3-2. I should say it's tied the score 3-3 now as we go to the top of the fifth inning. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Adam Jaxa. Christian Encarnacion Strand steps in, and he takes a called strike from the right-hander Joe Demers. Righty-righty. A slider fouled off into the netting. No balls and two strikes on Christian Encarnacion Strand for Cedar Rapids. 2-3-4 in the order coming up here for the Colonels. The pitch. That's hit high in the air to left field. Johnny Butler's at the wall. It is gone. Encarnacion Strand's 10th homer of the year, and we are untied. 4-3 Colonels in the fifth. The left field wall in the corner is 23 feet tall, and he put it right over the top to the right of the Fly Lansing First Class Lounge. And now the batter is Aaron Sabato. On a rainy afternoon in Michigan State Capitol, the balls are flying. Sabato takes ball one outside from Demers. Sabato today has doubled, singled in a run, and scored a run. 2-for-2 out of the three hole. He swings and gets under it. Back of home plate. Catch across toward the screen. That ball's back and well out of play. And is everybody okay?
Everybody's good. Just missed a young one down there.
Oh, boy. Two in the third, one in the fourth, one in the fifth for Cedar Rapids. For Lansing, two in the second and one in the fourth. Home runs for the Nuts, for Lawrence Butler and Austin Beck. For the Colonels, for Will Holland and Encarnacion Strand. As Demers misses outside with the slider. And it's two balls and one strike and Aaron Sabato. News from the major leagues yesterday. And a former Lansing Lugnut was traded. Demers deals. That's Scott on the right side. And this will get out of play. Everybody looks up. Here it comes down into the seats. And up go the baseball players racing for it, the Dream Teamers, who've been chanting and clapping throughout the game. And one hustles over there first to get it. A 2-2. That's lifted. This time in the field of play up the right side, crossing into foul ground. Soderstrom, the first baseman, puts it away. Sabato's at number one. Anytime I see the Dream Teamers racing after a foul ball, I wonder if their performance in chasing the foul ball is equal to how they actually play on the baseball field.
Well, it looked like we have a future Mighty Muscle down there. Did you see the flex after the young man got the baseball?
I did not.
Double flex.
All he had to do was rip off his shirt then. Here's Junior Severino missing inside ball one.
Well, the sun's not out,
that's
so
right.
You can't bring the guns out,
nah,
Jesse.
Nah, it's a good point. One out, nobody on. 4-3, Cedar Rapids, batting in the fifth. The pitch, check swing. On the outside corner, strike called from Demers. So yesterday, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Seattle Mariners pulled off a trade. The Mariners sent high A infielder Tyler Keenan to Toronto. Swing and a miss, good off speed, strike two. And in exchange, the 2016 Southpaw Ryan Borucki was dealt to Seattle. Borucki had battled injuries, trying to find a home in the Blue Jays pen. The pitch inside nearly struck Severino. Two balls and two strikes. But in the end, the Blue Jays designated him for assignment and then traded the native Illinoisan off to Seattle. a 2-2. That is hooked. Foul just barely up the right field line. Bases umpire Ken Jackson with the call. Disagreed with by the first base coach and hitting coach for the Colonels, Jairo Rodriguez. It was very close, but Nathan Diedrich was right there, spinning around to see where it landed. And Severino called back to home plate with a count at 2-2. Ryan Borucki on the move to Seattle. I love keeping track of where all those former Lansing Lugnuts are in the major leagues. The pitch from Demers, check swing, down and in on appeal, did not go. And it's full on Severino, who walked his last time. So Borucki off to Seattle. There are Lugnuts with the Mariners, the Blue Jays, the Nationals, the Rangers, the Giants, the A's, the Pirates, and onward. Fly ball pushed down the left side. And this is left of the pole, a foul ball, the home run distance. But just taking the American League West, we have seen the Lugnuts impacting the Oakland Athletics this year, the Lugnuts parent club. Danny Jimenez settling in as the closer. Zach Jackson at the back end of the bullpen. Kevin Smith at third base. Payoff. Tapped, foul, bouncing over the left shoulder of catcher Cross. We stay 3-2. Severino battling for the Colonels, the cleanup hitting DH. Cedar Rapids 4, Lansing 3 in the fifth. The Blue Jays, the former affiliate. There are a ton of former Lugnuts there. Ground ball, one hop, pass second baseman right to his left, a base hit into right field. Lawrence Butler plays it in, a single for Severino. A one-out base runner against Demers. But just in the AL West, in addition to the Oakland A's, as the rain is coming down harder and harder right now here in Lansing, now Seattle is represented by a former Lugnut in Ryan Borucki. The Texas Rangers have the assistant hitting coach Seth Connor, who played here as a catcher. The LA Angels as well. Jefferson Morales swings and misses a slider, strike one. The Angels in the offseason went out, and they brought in Aaron Loop, Noah Syndergaard, and Ryan Tepera, all of them former Lugnuts. Righty-righty, 0-1. Line drive looping to left. Johnny Butler back. It's beyond him. One hopping off the wall. Around a third base, Severino held up there by Dinkelman. A throw hits the cutoff man, and Angeles runs it in. A double for Jefferson Morales.
Well, they just continue to hit these baseballs hard. It's been all series, and they've been punishing the walls here at Jackson Field.
And now through the rain. Fans came prepared. Their umbrellas that have bloomed all around Jackson Field. Behind each dugout and behind home plate. Infield drawn in for the Nuts. Down 4-3 to the Colonels. Top of the fifth, one out. Charles Mack bats from the left side. Severino at third, Morales at second. First pitch, called a strike on the outside corner. By the way, there were a couple of former Lugnuts just signed. I believe the Cincinnati Reds just signed Justin Nicolino and TJ Zoik. Guys to keep our eyes on. 0-1. Inside, and that struck Mack. Base is loaded. And Joe Demers hits his seventh batter with a pitch this year, leading all Lugnuts hurlers.
Well, Jesse, what's been the story the last couple of games? Both 8-5 losses for the Nuts. It's been one bad half inning where they've given up three or four runs. And Cedar Rapids continuing to put the pressure on. They've had a two-run half inning with a couple of one-run half innings. And this potentially could be that half inning now with the bases loaded and it's only one out.
We began this fifth inning in a 3-3 tie. Austin Beck homering in the bottom of the fourth inning, notching the score. After in the top of the fourth inning, Will Holland had broken the tie with a solo home run. Pitching mound confab, led by the pitching coach Don Schulze, bringing the infield in around Demers, with the southpaw Kumar Nambiar trying to get himself all loosened up and ready in the pen. He just started throwing. Demers replaced the starter Shohei Tomioka in the top of the fourth inning. He inherited one runner, but Kenny Taylor was caught stealing. And Demers set down Alaric Soleri on a routine fly. But here in the fifth inning, a home run by Encarnacion Strand to start up the frame. And then after the foul out by Sabato, single Severino, double Morales, HBP of Mack. First time all year that Charles Mack has been hit by a pitch. And here comes Will Holland, who homered his last time. First pitch from Demers. Inside for ball one. The infield was in with runners at second and third. The infield is back right now, with the exception the corner infielders are playing on the baseline. Middle infielders look for the double play. 1-0. Breaking ball sliding below the zone. Two balls, no strikes. Wind blowing from right to left and in from right. Holland is 1-for-2 with a home run. His fourth of the year. 2-0. There's a called strike on the inside corner. Joe Demers has coaxed two double play balls this year. Righty-righty. Fires the 2-1. That is hit hooking deep into the left field corner. Caught by Johnny Butler sliding forward. Tagging at third base, Severino. He comes in to score. Morales stays at second. Mack stays at first as Butler's throw came in. Sack fly for Will Holland. But a dynamic play by Butler. Star next to it on the scorecard. Out number 2. 5-3 Colonels.
Yeah, beauty from Butler there. That's a long run over towards the left field line, and he had to catch it because it was landing fair. If he didn't, makes the catch, quickly gets up, throws it into Campos. Smart play, though, by Severino, knowing he can't get anything behind it, as Butler had to slide, so it works out for both teams.
First and second, two out for Dylan Noisy. 0-for-2 in his Colonels debut. The pitch to him. He swings and fouls it up and away to the right side. Strike one. Two lineouts for Noisy. Two relatively soft lineouts. One to third and one to the pitcher.
So not Noisy at all.
Not yet. Joe Demers looks to keep his bat quiet. Fires. Fouled up and away. Nothing and two. Demers kicks around to the back of the mound. With the rain falling, you can imagine, everybody's spikes are getting caked with mud. Morales leads away from second and Mack from first. We're in the top of the fifth. Two runs in for the Colonels, up 5-3. Two outs, the 0-2. He waved at a slider and came up empty. Strike three, side retired. Colonels score 2 on 3 hits and an HBP in the fifth inning. All touched off by the Encarnacion Strand home run. It's a 5-3 Cedar Rapids lead, halfway to the house from Jackson Field.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
The The Colonels go to the bullpen as we anticipate. Sean Mooney comes in, replacing Aaron Rozek. The Colonels are on top at Lansing by a 5-3 score. For Aaron Rozek in his four innings, he struck out five. He allowed two runs in the second on a two-run homer by Lawrence Butler, and then a solo home run in the fourth inning to Austin Beck. And all, though, just gave up three hits, and he walked one. So Rozek is now out of the ballgame, and in comes the right-hander out of New Jersey. 12th rounder 3 years ago. The 24-year-old Sean Mooney at 6'1", 185 pounds. We'll check in for more on Mooney with Adam Jackson in just a second. First, though, the Lugnuts will bring up Josh Wainwright, Alex Campos, and Johnny Butler, the 8-9-1 members of their starting lineup. And it does feel like the rain is lightening now from Lansing. Adam, how about Sean Mooney?
Yeah, Jesse, he's got a 1-1 record this year, ERA just under 2 through 28 and a third innings pitched. He started every game this year, 7 appearances, so this one not technically a start, but basically a piggyback. 35 strikeouts, 19 walks.
He begins against Josh Wainwright. Wright grounded into double play his first time up. Here's the pitch. Up and in, tailing Adam. Wright brought the hands in, and it's ball one. And Josh Wainwright has not been hit by a pitch this year. Quick reflexes. Mooney throws. Swing and a miss. There's that moving fastball. Ball and a strike on the two-seamer. Josh Wainwright hails from Chinguinola, Panama. He was signed as a free agent 5 years ago. Age 21. Here's the pitch. A breaking ball hangs high. Two balls, one strike. Well, the Lugnuts base runners have come from Austin Beck, Lawrence Butler, and Matt Cross drew one walk. Wright takes up and in. Ball three. Beck a single and a home run. Butler a two-run homer, knocking in Beck, and he reached on Nera by Encarnacion Strand at third base. And then there was the crosswalk in the second, and that was it. Lugnuts went down in order in the first and the third. The pitch. That's called a strike in the outside corner. I should mention Alex Campos in the third did reach on an error by the shortstop Holland, but then he was erased on a double play ball. Lugnuts have grounded into two. Payoff pitch from Sean Mooney. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with a fastball. Wright goes down, one up and one away in the home fifth inning. After this game here today, day off tomorrow, and then Lansing heads off to play at West Michigan Tuesday through next Sunday. Six-game road trip, and that's all. Then right back to Michigan State Capitol. Righty, righty. Alex Campos fouls off the first pitch. Fastball that he sent foul straight back behind him. Strike one. Lansing down 5-3, batting in the last of the fifth inning. After the Lugnuts complete that six-game series at West Michigan, back home, 12 home games in 13 days. Mooney throws. Breaking ball away. They appeal a check swing. Denied. Ball and a strike on Campos. You know how I mentioned in the top half of this inning, Adam, that Ryan Borucki had been traded by the Blue Jays to Seattle? Borucki, the former Lugnut. Break even 1-1. Campos skies it foul off to the right side. Alex Campos picked up via trade Athletics with the Seattle Mariners. He was acquired with Emilio Pagan for Ryan Healy, the first baseman. It's 1-2. Mooney brings it. Breaking ball, strike three called outside corner. Campos down watching. Two batters, two strikeouts for Mooney.
Well, that is a ton of movement on that slider.
Mm-hmm. Top of the order time, and Johnny Butler. From June 14th through June 19th, the Lugnuts will host the Fort Wayne Tin Caps here. And then from June 21st through June 26th, the Beloit Skycarp come to town. 5-3 Colonels here today. Mooney throws. Johnny Butler takes ball one outside. That Beloit Skycarp series midway through. The first half is going to end. Butler lays down a bunt. It rolls foul just outside the right-hand batter's box. One ball and one strike. That is, as we look at the standings here today, the first 66 games of the year will be done. Then the next 66 will be played. It's a 132-game season. And they'll look to see who is atop each division. And those teams will make it into the playoffs in the Midwest League this year. Two outs, base is clear. 1-1. Backdoor breaking ball, strike two called. And here are the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the Lugnuts opponents, atop the West Division by two games on Wisconsin. They're 32-18. The Timber Rattlers 30-20. Four games in South Bend, 28-22. The pitch. Tried that backdoor breaking ball again and left it just outside. 2-2 to Johnny Butler. Well, up next, Cedar Rapids playing at South Bend. Chance for the Cubbies to make up some room in the West Division. Final 15 games of the half. Butler goes down swinging on a high fastball. Sean Mooney strikes out the side in the fifth. We are bound for the sixth inning, and the Cedar Rapids Colonels lead the Lugnuts by a score of 5-3 in Lansing, Michigan.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Back to the bullpen as we go to the sixth. Lugnuts down 5-3 to Cedar Rapids. Southpaw Kumar Nambiar takes over for the righty Joe Demers.
Well, Kumar Nambiar has been one of the better pitchers this year for the Lugnuts out of the pen. And he's got an ERA just up over 3. This will be his 18th appearance. Giving up just one home run this year, 27 strikeouts. Opponents batting just a touch over 200 against the lefty.
First up against him, it's Kenny Taylor, the number 9 batter, right-handed hitter. And he takes ball 1 inside. But Joe Demers, 1 2/3 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, did not walk anybody, and he struck out 1, struck out the final batter that he faced. The deal, swing and a miss by Taylor. 1 ball and 1 strike.
Not to be confused with Kenny G, it's Kenny T that's up to the plate, Jesse.
That's right. Sweet music nonetheless. The pitch is down and in. Kenny G is much more polarizing than Kenny Taylor, who's a popular Cedar Rapids Colonel in the clubhouse. I'm not sure if you went around the Cedar Rapids clubhouse and you said, "Who here likes Kenny G?" You'd meet the same resounding approval. I could be wrong. A 2-1. Fouled up and away to the right side.
I think they all know who Kenny G is.
I think that the majority of them are familiar with the music. And they might say, "I'm not sure." And then you play the opening strains, and they say, "Okay, I got you. Here's my opinion." The pitch. Swing and a miss. Nambiar strikes at Kenny T with the curve. One away in the sixth. Alaric Soleri now. Top of the order time. Soleri is 0-3 today. Right-handed batter and the former Tennessee Volunteer. crowds the plate. First pitch takes the off-speed down. One ball, no strikes. Thomas Breach, in charge of Cedar Rapids Media Relations, has been cataloging just how good Solari's stats have been. The deal. Curveball. Strike called. 69, says the stadium gun. Okay, Kumar Nambiar. One out, nobody on in the sixth. Colonels batting up 5-3. Solari leads the Midwest League since May the 14th. Takes a called strike on the inside corner. It's 1-2. Slugging percentage up above 700. Second in the MWL in that span in OPS. Fourth in on-base percentage. Fouls this one off at home plate, and that hurts the catcher cross. We stay 1-2. Solari in the month of April really struggled, then got off to a slow start in May, but they're seeing his bat come around, and then that brought us to yesterday. And yesterday he hit for the cycle, and what's funny, Adam, is that Thomas checked in with Al earlier today. Nambiar's pitch, bouncing in, two balls and two strikes, and you had broken things down exactly as he had. The two of you were on the same page with regard to his next to last at bat.
Yeah, we were wondering, is he thinking about it? Is he going for it for the home run to complete the cycle? And Thomas confirmed that he was.
5-3 Colonels, the 2-2. Check swing, pitch was up. On appeal, didn't go. Count is full.
I mean, we're all humans, right? There's no way you're not thinking about it at that point. These are all baseball savants.
I constantly have to undergo tests online that ask if I'm a robot. 3-2 pitch strikes him out swinging. Curveball from Nambiar, and Solari was fooled. There's two outs, two strikeouts for Nambiar.
It's too much sarcasm in that personality for you to be a robot.
Here comes Christian Encarnacion Strand. Boy, he's had an okay day, had an okay series. Today he's doubled and homered and scored two runs, 2-for-3. First pitch, he swings and misses, strike one. Two outs with the bases clear. And the Colonels on top at Lansing by a 5-3 score. There's the open stance for Encarnacion Strand. Pitch is on its way. Fouled off to the screen. Encarnacion Strand wearing the high socks and the striped socks. So you've got the deep navy with the red stripes, two horizontal stripes stretching around. And there's the Minnesota Twins logo at the very bottom toward the spikes. And 0-2, curveball down, one ball and two strikes.
It's a good look for the big fella.
Earlier in the series, Encarnacion Strand, Adam was counting the letters in his last name, 17. Drafted out of Oklahoma State last year. The pitch swings and misses. Nambiar strikes at the side. The off-speed working well for the lefty from Yale. And as we go to the bottom half of the sixth inning, it remains 5-3. Colonels on top at Lansing.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over. And that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers. But there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
In the fifth inning, Sean Mooney struck out Josh Wainwright, Alex Campos, and Johnny Butler. In the top of the sixth inning, Kumar Nambiar struck out Kenny Taylor, Alaric Soleri, and Christian Encarnacion Strand. Out of those six strikeouts, only one of them was looking. Let's see how Sean Mooney follows up in the bottom half of the sixth inning. It's going to be Angeles, Soderstrom, and Beck. Trio of prospect hitters for the Lugnuts offense against the righty Mooney. 2-3-4 for Lansing, down 5-3 to the Colonels. First pitch, Angeles taking all the way, called strike. Fastball to start him. A pop out to second, a strikeout swinging for Arebiel. Mooney out of the stretch, lets it fly. Swing and a miss, breaking ball, and Angeles was out in front. Arebiel Angeles' average has now slipped down to 256. Has the one home run this year, which he lasered out onto Home Run Hill. Here it is from Mooney. Sliders outside. One ball, two strikes. Adam, as you mentioned, when Mooney first came on last inning, that slider is wicked. 12th rounder 3 years ago, Sean Mooney. To Angeles. Front door slider called strike three. He has struck out four in a row.
The fascinating thing with Mooney, we were talking with the Colonels broadcaster and Thomas. He told us that they completely changed his arm slot after he endured Tommy John surgery, and he's got more of a sidearm arm slot, and that's allowed that slider to break as much as it does.
Tyler Soderstrom takes ball one outside. Something that strikes me about Sean Mooney from his high school days. We'll see guys who are their high school's baseball player of the year, maybe the athlete of the year, maybe the male athlete of the year. The pitch to Soderstrom. Strike called on the outside corner. You realize that Sean Mooney was the Ocean City High School baseball player of the decade? Of the decade.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. He fires. Soderstrom bounces up the right side. Foul ball, 1-2.
Hard enough to be the best guy for a year, but for 10?
Yeah, I think next, go for the century.
Some would say Jesse Goldberg-Strassler is the broadcaster of the decade for the Lugs.
Well, Soderstrom goes down swinging, off speed away. Tyler struck out three times, and Mooney has struck out all five batters he's faced. Two outs in the sixth, 5-3 Cedar Rapids.
I mean, we didn't tab you Jesse Goldvoice-Strassler for nothing yesterday.
I mean, maybe of the 2010s you could try to give that to me, but I don't know, in the 2020s suddenly I have strong competition.
Well, 2020 you had the most strong competition.
Here's Austin Beck. Beck takes a ball outside. Beck has singled and homered and scored two of the Lugnuts' three runs. Down by two, two outs, nobody on in the home sixth. Sean Mooney is looking for a sixth straight strikeout. Righty, righty. Pitch on its way. Fouled off at home plate. In 2020, there was no minor league baseball season, but we had baseball here. We had the Lemonade League, and that was the first time for Adam and I calling the game with a monitor, with a video stream. And Adam Jaxa carried the call in the Wood Bat League that summer.
Oh, please.
I was sick the entire time. The 1-1. Swerves outside. Two balls and one strike.
Terry Allapart carried the broadcast.
Ain't that
the truth? 2020. You've been doing that for years, but the stream, the video, that's made a huge difference.
It's a hitter's pitch on 2-1, and Beck launches it out to right center. Noisy to his left, he's there, making the catch in the gap, and the side retired, the inning over, and Sean Mooney has an out that wasn't a strikeout. Walks off the field with his cap held in his left hand. As we go to the seventh inning with Adam Jaxa, potentially the Lansing Lugnuts broadcaster of the decade, coming up on the call. It is the Colonels leading 5-3 in Lansing.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Well, as a matter of fact, we are back to the ballpark. Thank you, Mr. Contronio. And appreciate all the A's broadcasters helping us out this year. The score here in the seventh, 5-3. As Kumar Nambiar pumps in a strike on the outside part of the plate to Aaron Sabato, Yunor Severino, and Jefferson Morales to follow. Lugnuts trail by a deuce. The 0-1 up high. One ball, one strike. The Lugnuts fighting against both Rozek and Mooney, but they have thrown out Nambiar as the pitch is in on the hands and fought off first base side. Out of play, one ball, two strikes. This has kind of been the part of the game the last couple of nights in 8-5 wins for Cedar Rapids, where they've been able to get to the Lugnuts bullpen, and the Lugnuts have been able to do stuff offensively. That pitch outside. Two balls, two strikes, but it's not been enough because they've been playing catch-up. We haven't seen that blow-up half inning from the Nuts pitching-wise, and Nambiar, the best arm out of the pen so far. 2-2 just inside, three balls, two strikes. But again, you're facing basically two starters today in Rozek and Mooney, so not getting the bullpen, at least for now, against this Cedar Rapids squad. 3-2. Breaking ball is roped out to left field, and it is down but foul. Stroke of good luck right there as that went just to the left of the chalk for Sabato. Five to three, our score in the seventh. Cedar Rapids with two in the third, one in the fourth, two in the fifth. Lansing with two in the second, one in the fourth. That's flied back off the netting. And it remains three balls, two strikes on Sabato, who's 2-for-3 today. Double in the first, RBI single in the third. Flied out to Soderstrom at first in the fifth. The pitch, swing and a miss. Nambiar gets it by him for his fourth straight strikeout in four batters faced.
The big key for Kumar Nambiar is that all of his pitches are weapons right now. He can strike you out with the fastball, the curveball, the changeup. Right there, Sabato took a tough fastball, was right on a curveball, but maybe a little bit too early. And so Danny goes on the change.
The pitch, swing and a miss. Strike one on Yunor Severino.
Right, fastball right by him. That's a wonderful thing for a pitcher.
The 0-1, another swing and a miss. No balls, two strikes. Kumar has broken the radar, it looks like.
That last one was a bit of a mistake. Catcher Cross wanted it on the outside corner.
0-2. Down low, one ball, two strikes. He's looking for a fifth consecutive punch-out. 5-3, Colonels in front of the Nuts in the seventh. Nine hits, just three today for Lansing, but two of their three hits have been homers. That's why in this game here, two-run shot from Butler and one from Beck. Lifted out to center field, so the K K-skid or the K-streak will end, but into the mitt it goes for Lawrence, or for Austin Beck, rather. And there's five straight set down to open up the frame or the outing for Nambiar.
You and I have talked often just how good Kumar Nambiar has been out of the bullpen this year, and he's continuing it. He's had rare hiccups.
Jefferson Morales in there takes a ball down low. Two out, nobody on. 5-3 Colonels in the seventh. Nambiar trying to go 1-2-3-4-5-6. 1-0. High strike called on the outer part of the plate. 1-1.
It wasn't an ephus, but how high did that curve go before coming back down into Morales' zone?
Yeah, that was right there at the letters on the outside. Didn't want any part of that pitch. Third pitch. Down low, 2-1. Easy for Nathan Diedrich to just keep going up with the right arm with Nambiar on the hill. The pitch kicked back up towards the sweets. Two balls, two strikes. 30 pitches for Nambiar and 20 for strikes. He is pounding the zone, keeping the Lugnuts in this game. The pitch home. Popped up right field, back to his left. Butler coming over to his right. He'll make the catch, and that'll do it. Six up and six down for Kumar Nambiar. What an outing so far out of the pen. We head to the home half of the seventh. Stretch it out at Jackson Field. 5-3, Cedar Rapids. Sean Mooney begins his seventh inning against Lawrence Butler. Lazaro Armenteros, Matt Cross will follow. Lansing needs a couple runs, trailing 5-3 on an overcast Sunday. The pitch, down low and outside, ball one. Butler today with the two-run shot in the second, his fifth home run this year. Here comes the pitch. That's in there, strike two. Strike one, rather, on Butler. One ball, one strike. The home run, and then reached on an error in his last at bat. Next pitch jumps inside. Two balls and a strike on Butler. It's been the opposite of what we've seen for the most of this series. Lansing collecting a good amount of hits, but a lot of them for singles. Just three hits today and two home runs. The pitch. Up high, 3-1. Lawrence batting just a touch over 220, has driven in 24. Red bat with bright green tape wrapped around the handle. He's got all red with the gloves. The pitch, swing and a miss. Three balls, two strikes. Red Adidas on his feet. Red ankle guard on his front right foot. Red batting gloves. and red sleeve on his right arm. 3-2. Launched out to right field. Home run territory, but foul. Oh, what a good swing by Lawrence. Just a touch out in front of it.
There was a red truck driving northbound on Larch Street at the exact same time, and I was thinking, he just sees red.
3-2. Kicked back off the netting. You know, there's also a red truck parked on the concourse right now.
An REO, or I should say REO, Speedwagon.
Old fire truck out there. Great look. We had it last night for REO Speedwagon night. And it's still here today. 3-2. Swing and a miss. That slides in on the hands of Butler. That is a filthy pitch. Strikeout number 6 for Mooney.
We think about a right-handed pitcher working to a left-handed batter, that the breaking stuff, the left-hander should be able to mash it, right? It's breaking right into your wheelhouse. But Sean Mooney is putting it underneath the batter's hands, and that made it really difficult on Butler.
There's Lázaro Armentero stepping in. Bottom 7, 5-3. Colonels in front. One out, nobody on. Slide piece in there, strike 1. Trivia question today was, in that 72 World Series for the A's and the Reds, who had the game-winning and series-winning RBI? The 0-1. Swing and a miss. Armenteros out in front. Any responses today, Jesse?
Was it Gene Tennis?
It was not. Actually, a great guess. Tennis was the one that came in to score.
Tennis, anyone?
Won. Yeah. The 0-2. That's outside. 1-2. That's T-E-N-A-C-E. Gene Tennis scored the winning run. 3-2 victory. It was Sal Bando.
Ah.
Hit the double. And that helped complete a 2-run sixth inning as the A's won. 1-2 is outside. 2-2.
So no winners today that I saw.
Well, better luck on Tuesday. We'll be back. Join us for trivia in the 4th. It's a nightly occurrence.
Maybe any of the other innings, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep you on your toes. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Armenteros couldn't catch up to another slatter away.
This is a pretty darn good outing for Mooney, huh?
Yeah, he's kind of stealing the spotlight from Kumar Nambiar, who's come on and had an excellent outing. This is 7 strikeouts now for Mooney. He's retired the first 8 that he's faced, and only one man, Austin Beck, has put the ball in play against him. Your turn, Matt Cross. Launched out to left, but foul. Up into the gray skies, over towards Cedar. Chevy Impala driving by, look out.
That timing was nearly eerie. He just missed that.
Let's see him try again, the 0-1. There's the slider, strike 2. Lawrence Butler just a touch out in front of his opportunity. A couple batters ago, almost had the home run to break up this consecutive out streak. 0-2. Slider just low. Mooney wanted it. He was hopping his way to the third base dugout, ready for his 8th strikeout and 9 batters faced. Lansing trailing 5-3 in the 7th. Needs something. The pitch. Chopped foul, third base side. Past Phil Pohl, out to the bullpen area. Cross today with a walk in the 2nd. Flied out to Holland at short in the 4th. 0-1. Righty on righty. Mooney set from the stretch. And the pitch home. Swing and a miss. Just an uppercut fastball right there. 93. 8 strikeouts in 9 batters faced. 9 straight retired. Sean Mooney. My goodness. Let's go to the 8th. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler on the play-by-play the rest of the way. Cedar Rapids by a pair.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze.
Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Sure, I'll take the baton from Adam Jaxa as we go to the top of the eighth inning. Lefty-lefty. Kumar Nambiar back to the hill, and Charles Mack steps in. Colonels up 5-3. Off speed, away ball one. Nambiar, two perfect innings out of the Lugnuts pen. He does have Brock Whittlesey, the right-hander, warming up behind him. Mack bats left, then the next six hitters are right-handers. There's a foul ball bouncing into the Lugnuts dugout first base side. So it could be that we see Nambiar here against just Charles Mack, and then Phil Pohl goes and brings in Brock Whittlesey against Holland and Noisy. One ball, one strike, the count. The pitch, Mack takes, strike called on the outside corner. Kumar Nambiar out of Larchmont, New York. Kicking round at the back of the mound. Nambiar in his 18th appearance of the year, more than any other Lugnuts reliever. 1-2, swing and a fly ball sent foul. Soaring off to the left and coming down out of the clouds with a high bounce beyond the Pepsi porch, gets hung up in the netting as if the netting was a gigantic spider's web.
Kind of feels that way.
Nambiar, by the way, with his 18th appearance today, ties Sean Reynolds of Beloit for the most appearances in the league. The pitch, foul back, over our heads and onto the rooftop. One ball, two strikes on Mack, who has flied to left, and been hit by a pitch and stranded. Here it comes. He lays off down and away at two balls, two strikes.
He hits a home run. They call him Max Max, don't they?
I believe I've heard that, yes.
Yeah.
Nobody on, nobody out. 5-3 Colonels. The pitch, grounded foul, rolling right. We'll try it again right here. It was the Lugnuts who scored first. In the bottom of the second inning, Lawrence Butler sent a ball one hopping off the bricks in straightaway center. A home run at 409 feet, a two-run shot for a 2-0 lead. But the Colonels tied the game, two runs in the top of the third. Nambiar delivers. Mack flies it, center field, Austin Beck back. He stops, he makes the catch, and there's at number one. And here comes Phil Pohl. And it looks like Brock Whittlesey is going to relieve Kumar Nambiar right here with all the right-handers coming up. Signal to the pen with the right hand. And Brock Whittlesey gets in one last warm-up pitch as Kumar Nambiar shares some words with catcher Cross. And the infielders come around. Seven batters faced, seven outs recorded by Nambiar here today.
Yeah, really good outing for Kumar. I mean, just continuing to come in, change speeds, throw strikes, keep hitters off balance, gets those strikeouts, doesn't allow a base runner. In a series where Cedar Rapids has showed you how good they are offensively, that's an extra special relief appearance by Kumar Nambiar.
To Brock Whittlesey in just a moment. When last I left off and just taking you through this game, it was 2-2 Colonels following their two runs in the top of the third. In the top of the fourth, Will Holland's homer gave them the lead, 3-2. In the bottom, though, of the fourth inning, Austin Beck homered, and we're tied up 3-3. But in the top of the fifth inning, Christian Encarnacion Strand led off with a homer against Joe Demers. It was 4-3. Two batters later, Junior Severino singled. Jefferson Morales doubled him to third base, and Will Holland came through again with a sac fly for a 5-3 lead.
And here we've remained. 5-3 Colonels with one out, nobody on. Cedar Rapids battling in the top of the eighth inning. Hey, everyone deserves a great smile, even Adam. And Gruba Orthodontics is here to help you, Lugnuts fans. Gruba Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, anyone can get the smile they've always wanted with their affordable payment plans. With one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Lansing area, they love to see Lansing Lugnuts fans smile with confidence. Get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourgruballorthodontics.com today and book your free consult. Gruballorthodontics.com. Brock Whittlesey is in. Will Holland steps in from the right side. Colonels 5, Lugnuts 3, one out, nobody on. First pitch, outside, ball one. Adam, how about Brock Whittlesey?
Well, we saw him earlier this week, Jesse, and he was excellent, bouncing back after he gave up the four runs to Beloit in the ninth at the end of last week's series. He went 1 2/3 a couple of days ago, no runs, two strikeouts.
Ball two, outside to Holland.
And preserved the save and a victory for the Nuts. It was his first save for Lansing this year.
Will Holland today is reached on an error, homered, delivered a sack fly. The pitch, ground ball down toward third. Campos got back on a better hop, fires across, pulls Soderstrom off the base. Soderstrom tried to reach out and then tag the runner. Collision between him and Holland. Both are shaken up. Holland is safely aboard at first base. Error on the throw on Alex Campos, the third baseman. And hopefully everybody's okay. Soderstrom is examining his left hand, his fingers, his nails. And Will Holland there at first, chatting with his first base coach, Jairo Rodriguez, but no athletic training is on hand. That's why we talk about those throws into the path of the runner being dangerous. Looks like we've avoided serious consequence. The batter's Dylan Noisy. The pitch, swing and a miss, strike one.
Yeah, that's tough. Campos has been really good through this first couple of games, but he's had a couple of mistakes over there today at third, both on Holland balls.
I like him backing up to get the truer hop, but then the inaccurate throw. Here comes an 0-1 from Whittlesey. Hit in the air, center field. Austin Beck measures to his left. He waits. He's got a one-hand catch, bending in as he does so. Holland back to first. Two outs, top of the eighth inning. Let me send a special hello to the Cushings listening in. We got to know the Cushing family when Jack Cushing, the great Georgetown Hoya, was a member of the Lugnut starting rotation briefly last year. Earned the call-up from single-A Stockton, then excelled with the Lugnuts before getting called up to double-A Midland, and he's been an ace for the Rockhounds this year. Kenny Taylor's the batter. Two outs, runner at first. Pickoff, though, not in time. Holland barely got the right hand back. Cedar Rapids leading and batting here in the top of the eighth. Colonels 5, Lugnuts 3. So hello to the Cushings listening in as they're driving cross-country Nashville to Denver. Waiting for the Rockhounds game. There's a swing and a foul out of play to the right side. Jack Cushing the other day, 7 innings. It was his third start this year of at least 7 innings. He also has an 8-inning start. So we wish the Cushing family well, and we're rooting Jack on in double-A and beyond, because Adam, I believe he's getting up to triple-A at the very least sometime this summer. And then, who can tell?
Well, you talk about one guy that did not need the pitch clock and pitched with efficiency.
Yeah.
Jack Cushing. He got that ball back, and he was pumping in strikes. Really fun to watch, and no surprise he continues to advance up the A's as quickly as he does.
Runner moves, pitches up and in, throw down to second base. Tag applied by Wright as he collides with Will Holland, and the ball was dropped. The ball is on the ground next to the base. Safe the call, and now everyone is going to get checked on. Holland had the collision at first base with Soderstrom's left hand. This was a much worse collision at second base. And Will Holland is down and holding his midsection. Josh Juan Wright, the second baseman, is up and standing to the right of the bag looking down. The lead athletic trainer, Matt Smith, is on hand, as well as the manager for Cedar Rapids, Brian Dinkelman.
I think he might be holding his right knee. Just a tough collision. Josh Juan looks to be okay, but you said it. He had the collision with Soderstrom and then now has one with Josh Juan, and just a baseball that on both throws brought the contact into where Holland was running, and you certainly hope that he's going to be all right here, but a couple of tough collisions for him.
I go back to the first game of this series. He robbed Austin Beck on a leaping catch at the wall in center field, but as he did so, as he completed the play, he crashed right into the wall, and he bruised up his knee and was taken out of the game. And so they kept him out the next day before bringing him in for the third game of the series. As we've seen, great speed. He's homered today. We'll have a look at the replay to see the collision. And he went right into Wright's right knee. What an awkward play for both of them, flying into one another as the throw was arriving. Holland does have his 10th stolen base of the year. But Cedar Rapids is going to help him very slowly off the field. He's walking under his own power. At the moment, well, he started to walk to the third base side dugout, was walking on the grass, now heads to the baseline, and he heads for a jog into left center.
Yeah, just trying to test it out to see if he can stay in this game. Certainly still hobbling it, but he's starting to feel it out a little bit more. And usually in a precautionary moment like this, you don't leave this guy in the game. But we'll see if he feels like he's okay and enough to continue. And if he is, what a tough customer.
A member of USA Baseball's collegiate national team out of the Auburn Tigers, where he was all SEC. And he will remain in the game. Meanwhile, Aribiel Anjeles teases the second baseman, Josh Wainwright. And Will Holland heard what they were talking about.
Aribiel's going, well, if you're going to make the contact and block him from second, maybe hold on to the ball next time, Josh Wan.
And he didn't.
Get the out. Oh, those two having a good time out there, and Holland having a smile as well. That's all good to see after a tough collision at second base.
Well, let's continue. Kenny Taylor, the right-handed batter, hitting ninth in the order. Whittlesey's pitch. Hammer deep down the left field line. That baseball is gone. He snuck it inside the pole above the 23-foot-tall wall. 7-3 Cedar Rapids. Taylor collects his first home run of the season. A two-run liner. Well, this is what Cedar Rapids had been doing. Each of their wins over the course of this series adding insurance runs late to prepare themselves for the inevitable late Lugnuts rally. That is the third home run this year off Whittlesey. Brock throws. Alex Soleri swings and misses strike one. Kenny Taylor's first round tripper of the year. And I mean, he tucked that ball over the wall and just to the right of the foul pole. The pitch. Soleri takes a ball inside. Slider. One ball, one strike. And, you know, Will Holland, all right to jog around the bases from second on his way in. That made it easy for him. Swing and a miss by Soleri. One ball and two strikes. Third home run of the game for Cedar Rapids. Holland, Encarnacion Strand, and now Taylor dialing it up long distance. Two outs, nobody on. Whittlesey with the 1-2. So Larry goes down swinging. First strikeout for Whittlesey, but two runs in. The error, the throwing error by third baseman Campos makes those runs unearned for the team. As we go to the bottom half of the eighth inning, it is now the Colonels leading the Lugnuts in Lansing by a 7-3 score.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go Nuts!
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Let's go to the bottom half of the eighth inning. And a called strike to Josh Wainwright to begin things from the righty Sean Mooney. It's 7-3. The Lugnuts are trailing to Cedar Rapids. Two-run homer in the top half by Kenny Taylor, expanding the lead. Wright takes the ball low and away. It's 1-1. It's going to be Wright, Campos, and Butler, 9-1 in the Lugnuts order, against reliever Sean Mooney out of St. John's. He's wearing the red jersey. It's been a red storm. He's been effective, to say the least, as he misses low and away with a fastball. Two balls, one strike on Wright. Nine batters faced by Mooney. He has struck out eight. Only Austin Beck put it into play, flying out to center. A 2-1 pitch. Swing and a foul tip, hung on to by Mack. 2-2. And Mooney now has that potential ninth strikeout all set up. Strikeout Wright to open up the fifth. To open the eighth, he deals. Wright takes a slider outside, and the count is full. Seven runs, 10 hits, and 3 errors for Cedar Rapids. 3 runs, 3 hits, 2 errors for the Lugnuts. Mooney's payoff pitch. Wright swings and lines it down the right field line, but foul. We stay 3-2. For today in Major League history, we're going to turn to the A's. Here's the payoff. Outside, ball four. Josh Wan is on. A leadoff base on balls. It was June the 5th, 2015. The Oakland Athletics brought in Pat Venditti, and he became the first ambidextrous pitcher in Major League Baseball in the 21st century. Pitched left-handed against Brock Holt in the seventh inning, then switched to right-hand against Hanley Ramirez and Mike Napoli. A swing and a foul off to the right side. No balls, one strike on Alex Campos. There had been switch pitchers in baseball before, but not for a long time. I think Greg Harris briefly experimented with it. Just for the fun of it, here's the 0-1. Up high, ball and a strike. But before that, you had to go to the 19th century. Guys like Tony Mullane, but Pat Venditti, purely ambidextrous. And when he came out of Creighton, it was with the understanding an ambidextrous switch pitcher. A 1-1. Up high to Campos, ball two. He had a special glove made that he could switch from his right hand to his left hand. So today, Venditti's Major League Baseball debut pitching for the A's. Bounced from the A's to the Blue Jays to the Mariners, Dodgers, Giants, and Marlins. Campos skies it foul, out of play to the right side, 2-2. In the end for Venditti, 5 years in the major leagues. 61 appearances, 72 and one-third innings. Won 2 games, struck out 58, walked 28. A 2-2 pitch on its way, bending low and away. Three balls and two strikes in Alex Campos. His final season in the major leagues, the Miami Marlins, 2020, the pandemic year when there was no minor league baseball, and he tossed 4 1/3 scoreless innings. Campos goes down swinging on a fastball high and tight, and there's strikeout number 9 for Mooney. One away in the eighth. Right at first, Lugnuts down 7-3.
How about the AL West? Well, trend-setting with their unique baseball players here in the last few years. A's with the ambidextrous man, Angels with Shohei Ohtani, the two-way player.
Johnny Butler fouls off the first pitch to the screen, strike one. If you got a guy who can give you the advantage, and Shohei Ohtani, I would argue, would give any team the advantage.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. Johnny Butler is grounded out twice, once into a double play, struck out his last time, bats left. Takes the 0-1, called strike at the letters. Nothing and two. Right on it first, and one away in the bottom of the eighth inning with the Lugnuts down by four. It feels like a lot more. Here's the pitch. That's pop foul. Back into our left. Here it comes. And then ricocheting off the railing, down into the seats. Two youngsters and one adult hustle for the baseball, and the adult ends up with it. Now he's bringing it to a whole group of youngsters that he's with, and the boos change to cheers. 0-2. Butler takes just off the outside corner. When the whole crowd saw the grown man get the baseball and take it away from a little girl in a pink jacket, they didn't like that at all. And then he brought it back and he handed it to a littler girl in a pink hoodie, and they liked that more. 1-2. Butler gets under it on the left side of the infield. Encarnacion Strand jogs forward and catches it just barely in fair ground, a third of the way down the third base line. At number two. And once again, that's another out recorded by Sean Mooney. That was not a strikeout. That's two outs out of 11 that have not been strikeouts.
Is that last play nepotism?
No.
They gave him a cheer.
A Rebiel Angeles is the batter. Roddy, runner at first. Angeles takes a ball inside. I got in trouble with my family. I'm sure I've told you this story. First ever foul ball that I caught as a fan came right down to me. I reached up my hands, and in the midst of the crowd, I caught it, and there was a little one sitting next to me who gave me the doe eyes. Angeles takes a called strike, and my brother and my father would not forgive me for handing away that foul ball.
Really tough.
A Rebiel Angeles. 0 for 3 with two strikeouts today. Takes a ball low and away. Back pick first base. Right is safe. First baseman Sabato swept in that tag. Two balls, one strike on Angeles. Boy, Angeles has found the going tough recently. He went 3 for 18 at Beloit. And now here against Cedar Rapids, he is 2 for 17. And between those two series, only two walks drawn. The pitch swings and foul tips it in a max mitt. I think this is true too, Adam. I believe that his two strikeouts today are his first two strikeouts of the series. He's been putting the ball in play, just has not been hitting safely. A 2-2, fouled away off the right side. Adam is glued to the Chippewas and the Florida Gators in an elimination game in the College World Series. Playing in Gainesville, and the hometown Gators are in trouble. 7-3 Colonels, 2-2, over Angeles' head, and then he gets out of dodge.
Look out.
Three balls and two strikes. How are things going for your Chippewas?
Bases loaded, nobody out, three runs in.
Payoff pitch, right runs it first base. Angeles strikes out swinging. Sean Mooney's 10th strikeout in four innings of hitless relief. He allowed one base runner, the walk to right. He stranded right at first base. Marvelous stuff by Mooney. And that sends us to the ninth. It remains Cedar Rapids leading in Lansing by a 7-3 score.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country,
and you come from all over the globe, and you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Brock Whittlesey back to the hill for the Lansing Lugnuts. Dealt in a strike called to Christian Encarnacion Strand, then missed with a high fastball. Encarnacion Strand, Sabato, and Severino, 2-3-4 in the Colonel's order in the ninth, leading 7-3. Righty-righty. Encarnacion Strand grounds it up the third baseline. Fair ball, base hit. Escape the diving compos. Pinballs into the Cedar Rapids bullpen. Encarnacion Strand heads for second. Johnny Butler retrieves and lobs to short. A leadoff double for Cedar Rapids. Third extra base hit and second double of the game for Christian Encarnacion Strand. Yeah, he's all right.
Get this guy out of town. Goodness.
The opposition around the Midwest League is saying, you can promote a Minnesota Twins whenever you would like. Aaron Sabato's the next batter. Righty, righty. First pitch. The first rounder smokes it to left center. It is on its way. It is long gone to the left of Good Hops. A two-run homer for Sabato. His seventh round tripper of the year. 9-3 Colonels.
Them. Get them out of town. Goodness.
Sabato, an RBI single, a double, and now the long ball. And Brock Whittlesey will face Junior Severino. 9-3. Fourth home run of the game for Cedar Rapids. Severino, switch hitter, bats left. Takes the first pitch around the outside corner. Slider for ball one. This was the first game to start up in the A's system today. Severino swings and misses the good off speed. One ball, one strike. One for three with a single and a walk, and one run scored. Nobody on, nobody out in the top of the ninth against the right-handed reliever, Whittlesey. Brock to the plate. Outside barely, ball two. Later on today, Frankie Montas gets the ball for the Oakland A's against a former Lansing Lugnut who's been pitching a long time. Rich Hill for the Boston Red Sox. Game's coming up in 37 minutes. Severino strokes a line drive in a right field base hit. Right fielder Lawrence Butler cuts it off before it can make the corner. Severino tries for second. A one-hop throw in. Anales goes for the tag, and he gets Severino standing. Severino chose not to slide into second base. He tried to dodge Anales standing up, and Anales tags him for out number one. Assist Lawrence Butler.
Well, that's good stuff right there. You said it, Severino. He's just got a slide there, and he's probably safe. Thought he could sneak in there, and Butler got it in quickly. Good tag by Anjales.
One out, nobody on for Jefferson Morales, who is 2-for-4 today with an RBI single and a double. On the first pitch, strike one. At the AAA level for the A's system, Parker Dunshee has the ball today. Two hitless innings are in the books. No score between the Aviators and the Sacramento River Cats. They have played some wild ones, those two teams, over the course of their six-game series. Yesterday, it was Las Vegas winning 9-7. And a one. pop foul out of play to the right side. No balls, two strikes on Morales. That was after the Aviators flew off with an 11-10 win 2 days ago. Boy, Las Vegas is playing really good baseball. The record is 31-21. 0-2 pitch up high, a show fastball. Fran Reardon, the manager of the Aviators, I first met him when we were both in the Independent Frontier League. Great guy. Manages the heck out of that club. 1-2. Swing and a miss. Whittlesey strikes at Morales. Got him with a slider. That's Whittlesey's second strikeout. Two away in the ninth. Colonels on top by a 9-3 score. And bring up Charles Mack. 0-3 with an HBP and three flyouts. Double-A Midland is going to play a night game tonight. 7:05 p.m. Taking on the Amarillo Side Poodles. The pitch to Charles Mack. Outside, ball one. Adam, ready for me to mispronounce a last name?
Yeah, let's hear it.
The starting pitcher for Amarillo is the Arizona Diamondbacks' number 9 prospect, Brandon Fatt. P-F-A-A-D-T. Fatt. A ground ball rolled over on the right side. Backhanded by Soderstrom at first. Underhanding to Whittlesey to the bag. And there's out number 3. Well, for Whittlesey, the double, the home run, the single. But on the single, Severino out trying to stretch it into 2. And then the whiff and the grounder. And so through in the top of the 9th. But Sabato's 2-run shot has given Cedar Rapids a 9-3 lead. Onward to the bottom of the 9th inning from Lansing.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over. And that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers. But there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
And now to the bottom of the 9th inning from Lansing, Michigan. Lugnuts trail by a score of 9-3, and the righty Sean Mooney is out. But I'm not promising that it's going to get any easier for the Lugnuts offense because Bradley Hanner is in. Mooney, 4 hitless, scoreless innings, 1 walk. He struck out a ton. Tyler Soderstrom leads off the bottom of the 9th against Hanner. Left-handed slugger, right-handed pitcher. First pitch, fastball for a called strike 1. 9-3. Colonels. Bradley Hanner this year, a 1.69 ERA, league batting 104 against him. Let's it fly. Soderstrom swings and misses the breaking ball in. Nothing and two on the 2020 Oakland first rounder. All right, I'll tabulate the strikeouts for you for Sean Mooney, okay? 3 in the 5th, 2 in the 6th, 3 in the 7th, 2 in the 8th. My goodness. The pitch. Breaking ball away. 10 strikeouts in 4 innings. That'll play. Sean Mooney looked really good, relieving Aaron Rozek, who tossed the first 4, allowing 3 runs. Hanner's 1-2. Soderstrom swings foul, tips it at home plate, and stays alive. Adam, Central Michigan update.
5s apiece, Jesse.
Oh, baby. Adam is over here. He's very doom and gloom, just so you know. Every time I would check in, he'd let me know that the Chippewas were going to get hammered and eliminated. 1-2. Line foul to the left side. How you feeling now?
You ever hear of reverse psychology?
Are you using it on yourself?
It's sometimes the method. Well, that's a lot of times the method. So then I'm just pleasantly surprised when good things happen.
All right. Adams Chippewas are taking on the Florida Gators elimination game right now. 1-2. Foul tipped and then not held onto by Mech. Soderstrom still up there against Tanner. Austin Beck on deck, and then Lawrence Butler in the bottom of the ninth. 9-3 Colonels. Here's the pitch. Skipping in. Ball two. Three at bats, three strikeouts for Soderstrom. Number three hitter in the order. Hanner sets. Kicks and deals. Breaking ball stroked on the right side. One sharp hop to Soleri at second. Lobs to first. Out number one.
Well, that's not the result that Soderstrom wants there, Jesse, but that by far is best plate appearance of the day. Had those three strikeouts, but there he laid off some of the pitches outside, and it's been a tough series for him. One of those growing moments. Still a youngster and up here at the high level for the first time, but that was good contact there.
And now Austin Beck, who you could argue has had the best offensive day of any Lugnuts hitter. Down 9-3 in the bottom of the ninth. The pitch, swing and a miss. Lit on the fastball. Strike one.
You think he wanted another home run there?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big time hack.
Beck in the second inning singled. Lawrence Butler homered him in. Then Beck homered in the fourth. Hatter's pitch on its way. Swing and a miss on the good breaking ball. Then in the sixth inning, Beck was the first batter not to strike out against Sean Mooney, flying out to deep right center. That was as Mooney was in the midst of a stretch where he struck out 8 of 9. Not Beck, though. 0-2. Beck lays off a breaking ball away. Ball and two strikes in Austin. First rounder of the A's in 2017. 9 runs, 13 hits, 3 errors for the Colonels, 3 runs and only 3 hits, 2 errors for the Nuts. Beck has 2 of those 3 hits. A 1-2 pitch. He reaches out, pokes it in the air down the right side toward the corner. Taylor to his left, but it fades foul. Just bounced beyond the Lugnuts pen, then skips up toward the bleachers. And Kenny Taylor will head back to his spot. 1 ball, 2 strikes, it remains on Beck. We have had overcast skies throughout this game. We had rain at one point. However, though it did get a little bit heavier, it never got truly unplayable, and then the rain lightened, and now it's moved away, and we played right through it. Tyler Parsons, Lugnuts general manager, gambled in starting the game on time. And no worries here. Hanner's pitch. Beck grounds towards shortstop. Grabbed by Holland. A throw to first, in time with a stretch by Sabato. 2 outs.
Well, we've talked about it. Lansing kind of seems to be that middle bubble where the rain either goes above us or below us, and we're pleasantly always just able to get these games in. Works out nice.
Cedar Rapids has recorded 26 of the 27 needed outs. 2 outs, nobody on. Bottom of the ninth. They're up 9-3. Here's Lawrence Butler batting left. Hanner to the plate. Lawrence swings and foul tips the slider into the mid of catcher Mack. Strike one. For Butler, 1-for-3 with an impressive home run his first time up. A one. Tapper foul off to the right side and to the on-deck hitter Armenteros, who reaches out and stops it with his bat. That home run by Butler in the second inning. He clobbered it out, one hopping off the outfield loft apartments in center field. After that, reached on error and struck out. 0-2 pitch from Hanner. Tried to backdoor a breaking ball and left it low and away. The catcher, Mac, didn't show too much interest in catching it. So bat boy Ethan has to jog all the way over, pick it up, and get it out of play. Ball and two strikes on Butler. Lázaro Armenteros hopes for a chance to hit. Shortstop Holland is up the middle. Hatter deals. Slider swung at and missed. Strike three. This ball game is over. And the Cedar Rapids Colonels win 4 out of 6 in this series in Lansing. They take the finale by the final score of 9-3.
Well, this is a really good baseball team. There's a reason Cedar Rapids is in first place in the West, and they certainly showcased it down the stretch of this series, winning the final three and taking the Nuts 4-2 in this series here in Lansing.
At this game today, there were the great swings by Butler and Beck with the home runs. But besides that, how about the pitching for Cedar Rapids?
Well, specifically Sean Mooney. I mean, that's ridiculous. He comes in the piggyback start, goes 4 innings, and no hits, no runs, 10 strikeouts. Lansing could not do anything against that wicked slider that he's got. And, again, we've talked about it so many times. When you've got good pitching and you've got really good hitters like this Cedar Rapids team does, you're going to be tough to beat. And they are throwing out excellent arms every single night. And they shut down this Lansing offense again for the most part today.
Lugnut stranded only 2 runners on base in the game to let you know how things went. For Lansing, 3 hits, 2 walks drawn, and struck out 16 times. And on the other side for Cedar Rapids, oh, the Colonels have just a little bit of power, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. Christian Encarnacion Strand and Aaron Sabato, 2 and 3. It's been the top of this order all series long. But the doubles, the triples, the homers, they had their extra base hits, and they had their home run swings again today. 56 home runs now after 4 more walloped over the wall. Again, the wall taking in some dents here at Jackson Field this week from the hard-hitting Cedar Rapids Colonels offense.
Alaric Solera yesterday hit for the cycle, the sole cycle for Cedar Rapids. And today, out of the leadoff spot, he went 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts and a double play grounder, and it just didn't matter. Well, Cedar Rapids victorious, now 33-18 for the Lugnuts in the loss, falling now to 19-32. Next up for the Colonels, they continue on the road at South Bend. Next up for the Lugnuts at West Michigan starting Tuesday.
Well, it's always a nice rivalry series there between the Whitecaps and the Lugnuts. Lansing will go visit them again, and hopefully they can get some games back here. They have run into a couple of tough teams in Great Lakes, Dayton, Beloit, who is heating up, and this Cedar Rapids team who's sitting in first place in the West.
And then after the Lugnuts head at West Michigan, 2 straight homestands, Fort Wayne and Beloit coming up. That is after this coming week. We will see you here at Jackson Field. Go to LansingLugnuts.com or call 517-485-4500. Here is the great moments after a Sunday Capital City Market Kids Day. All of these players, these coaches, they're not going to see one another. These are the only 6 meetings of the season between Cedar Rapids and Lansing. So everybody's catching up out there on the field. Joe DeMere is great friends with Christian Encarnacion Strand of Cedar Rapids, so they shared a conversation. Matt Cross and Charles Mack, the old summer club ball teammates, are catching up on the left side below the home plate circle. And this is picture-taking time. This is time to schmooze before you hit the showers, pack up, and board the buses.
Love it. It's a competitive game. You're trying to win against each other, but there's a lot of relationships built on the game of baseball, and great to see all these guys getting an opportunity to catch up as this series comes to a close.
And the kids are lining up because we're going to have kids run the bases, and then after that, the music and the ice cream across the street at Capital City Market. But for Adam and I, we call it a weekend.
That's it, Jesse. Well, tip your cap to Cedar Rapids. Good series by them, but give the Nuts a lot of credit. They hung in and played these guys tough, and now the schedule gets a little bit lighter with West Michigan, as you mentioned. Beloit will come back in here. Fort Wayne will come back in here. I know Lansing sits in last place in the Eastern Division, but an opportunity over the next 3 weeks to hopefully have a winning record and see if they can move up the Eastern Division standings.
Give me a Chippewas update.
5-5 in the seventh.
Oh, baby. Getting a little bit tense down there in Gainesville. For Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Thank you so much for keeping us company. Once more, your final score on this Sunday matinee. 9-3 Cedar Rapids wins in Lansing. We wish you well. Have a great rest of your weekend from Jackson Field in Michigan State Capitol. This has been Lugnuts Baseball.